What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 66 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V. Got Noxious and Raynette here, of course. Welcome back, guys. How's everybody doing? Yeah. We missed last week, but we're back now. Everybody doing well, though? Noxious, you're overseas, right?
I barely even, slept since, I feel, or going there, in fact, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Ray, how about you, man? Cool 2 weeks? Anything interesting happen?
No, I just was streaming a lot, pretty much. Played some of this game called Shadowverse. Played a lot of Hearthstone. That's about it, really.
All right, good stuff.
And trip's coming up, though. Fun.
Oh, a trip coming up?
Yeah, a few of them, yeah. It's like PAX East and then a tournament in Korea and then Austin for a DreamHack.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, definitely. Going to be in Austin, too, so that should be fun. And so we've got our guest today, Firebat. Welcome back to the show. He's a frequent guest, so it's awesome to have you here, especially with all these new cards out. This is going to be a lot of fun to be able to debate some of these cards.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about them. Definitely looking forward to talking about them. I've been doing a lot of card reviews and stuff like that in the last couple of days even. I just released one yesterday about some of the cards I've been doing catch-up on since I was away at Insomnia with Noxious.
So I didn't have time. Same thing.
So the last 2 days I've just been catching up on all the cards, so I'm really excited to get the opportunity to talk about them.
Yeah, they're kind of coming out like they're machine gunning these things out. Like there was like a week where, you know, maybe about six of them would come out. Now it's like two or three a day, I feel like. So we might be doing that the rest of the way, which is cool. You know, we never got a chance to congratulate you for Cloud9. You know, you were teamless, I think, last time you were on the show. So congrats on the team pickup there. And it looks like you're in a new place, too, moving to a brand new house, right?
Yeah, I just bought my first house, so...
Awesome.
My first house. Guys, like, I've got like 75 lined up after this one. But...
So, Firebat House Story Cup, right? Or something like that. Is that coming up? Is that right?
No. I don't think I'm ever going to do a house cup. I don't know if I can get like internet that can really handle it. My place is pretty small and humble, so it's like not really set up for that.
All right,
I can't follow Archon with that. They're the House Cup officials right now, so the other team's looking to compete with them.
Okay, yeah. I'm always going to remember, you know, I'm always going to think of Take, you know, for the home stories and everything. But yeah, it's definitely Hearthstone wise. Archon's starting it up and or starting that tradition in the Hearthstone community too, which is cool. But anyways, congrats on the first house too. That's definitely a big milestone in everybody's life when you finally get that chance to buy that first house.
Thanks.
Okay, so I guess this week we talked a little bit, I guess, of what we've been doing. Just a few news things we're going to get out of the way really quickly, and then we're going to talk about cards. Spend most of this episode talking about cards, and whatever time we got left, we'll try to get a couple questions at the end. So tweet your questions either at me, at ChamMV, or at ValueTownGG, and we'll get to as many as we can. All right, first off, the Winter Championship. So that happened, you know, a couple weeks ago, but since our last episode, we didn't get to talk about it. And Tempestorm, yesterday, I saw you guys made this awesome infographic kind of summing up the event, which let me show it really, really quick. And I think it's a really great idea. I mean, this is something that people should have been doing for a while, just having something that recaps the thing. Because I know myself, when I'm planning these shows and stuff, it's such a pain in the ass finding all the information if I like missed some of the coverage. And just digging through Reddit and all the different forums and everything. So having something like this is amazing, with obviously graphics, as well as like some cool stats, you know, just what classes were played, which ones were winning and things like that. How much input did you have in this, Ray? Or was this like somebody completely on your team?
None at all. I actually hired people like months and months ago specifically so we could do infographics like after every event, but it turned out that was kind of unrealistic. These take like way more work than it looks like. So it's just good to see them doing them now, I guess. But I didn't have any input on this.
Okay.
I'm not sure who recorded the data, but usually like one guy does the graphics and then one guy records all the data, watches all the VODs.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like this active card. I mean, there are these stats that nobody usually, nobody usually presents in any kind of way. And you know what? Like things like active draws for each of the classes and like 54 life taps here. It's kind of cool. Like quirky information that I don't know, just brings a little bit more element to just a recap of an event.
You need to split it then, right? Like life taps at the end of the turn, life taps at the beginning of the turn. Like, yeah, you have to split it just to exemplify everything even further.
Yeah. But, you know, this is whatever, right? Like, that it's kind of a cool little note there. But definitely congratulations to Naaman for winning it. And yep. The viewership was surprisingly a lot better than I thought it would be. You know, there weren't any super high profile names playing in it. So that's definitely good to see from the standpoint of the community. What about you guys? You guys happy, or what'd you guys think of the viewership of it? Because I know we talked about it like right before the last episode, just being a little curious how it would turn out.
In my opinion, the viewership was like solid, but like being at the event, the production was like pretty exceptional. It was pretty like tight show. There weren't breaks or anything. It was just like a really well composed event. So I'm actually kind of disappointed that 50K is like the numbers we're hitting, because I mean, there are times when every tournament, it's like small things with like random, like Lord of the Arenas, we're hitting like 70K, 75 every time. I don't know what changed really. There's just like less viewership across tournaments nowadays, I feel like. I'm not sure why that's the case, you know?
Yeah, I think generally go ahead.
No, I was just talking about maybe the staleness of it. People have seen a lot of the same stuff for a long time now. And it, like, it's happened before as well, right? Like, there's like this kind of cutoff between expansions. And I feel like maybe that's kind of the whole, if they hadn't changed Patreon, would people have watched the kind of the BlizzCon championships as much as they had?
So. Well,
yeah, it might be true.
How much of it has to do with just name power? You know, like Lord of the Arena, as you mentioned, I mean, those are some of the biggest streamers that you involved. You know, you have kind of
a mixture. That's true. That might have been it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has probably had more to do with that. And that's just going to be the nature of Twitch, right? It's always going to have something to do with that.
Production was like really, really low for that, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. I guess the production isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a lot of factors that go into it, right? You can't just pick three things and say that's the whole story, right? There's so many different elements that go into why people watch events and so many different people, right? Each person has their own different reason. So I think it's like a combination of all those things, right? And I think the staleness is the thing that is the easiest to fix, right? So that's the one that I think is the most important to really focus on, is just the staleness of the game. And then if you even look at forums and things, people's opinions during the time of when those tournaments are going on, of like the tournament meta, like there's so much, like Reddit's always like a cesspool of hate, right? But like it's really stale right now, so that just drives it out even more. And then if that's the general like people's consensus of what it's like when you watch a tournament, oh, you're just gonna see the same boring decks, everyone says this. If everyone's saying that, then you see all that, and when you're looking to see, maybe I want to watch a tournament today, and then you read, oh, tournaments are all crap, they're all the same old boring three decks, then you're like, well, I don't really want to watch a tournament anymore. Right. So it's like there's just a lot of bad advertising within people talking amongst each other because of the staleness.
Yeah, I'll say something though. Like, I feel like the Insomnia tournament was surprisingly refreshing. Oddly enough, like, we saw a lot of the same classes, same decks, but the archetypes were all over the place. I don't know if it had to do with the fact that there was no ban in Last Hero Standing and people just started bringing like a lot of experimental stuff, but it was really funny to watch that at a point where everybody kind of got bored of the Conquest, you know, ban format. Last Hero Standing, no ban, just brings out just the craziest things.
Like, what'd you see? What's the craziest thing you saw?
Like some mid-range Warlock that just made no sense. We've seen some like hyper aggro Zoo with a Drudrakes. We saw, good lord, like, well, the Priest doesn't really count. It was pretty standard, but like Elise Warrior Everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. Last Hero Standing. I don't know. Temple Mage from Dog with Conjurers and Duplicate.
Like, before top 8, though, everything was pretty bland. Like, before the cut, like, during the actual Swiss portion of that event, that format was terrible. Everyone just brought the same, there's like five different decks that the entire 128 man brought. So, like, that was, holy crap, playing in that was just, that was bad. But then after they got to the top 8, everyone was like, well, everyone's going to do that, so then let's tech. And then started changing. So, like, the top 8 cut, when they were allowed to resubmit, is really the only part of that caused any change. Otherwise, if everyone kept playing the same thing, we would have seen that would have been not good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy I got something else at the last few days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to see. It's definitely, you know, we've got about four. Well, not actually. We still got, I don't know, 4 more weeks or so until we start seeing the new cards come out and the new standard and classic changes. I can't wait till they announce that. Like, when do you think they'll actually tell us what the changes are, give us some peek into what the changes will be for standard and classic?
I don't think they're going to tell us until it's released, because the only thing that's worse than losing to an overpowered card is losing to an overpowered card that you know is going to be nerfed. They talked about that when we were all at like California.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
for that thing, they mentioned that they're like, yeah, we don't want to let people know the changes because if you know the combo is going to be changed and you die to the combo, it just feels that much worse.
Yeah,
I still feel bad because I know it's going to get changed. Yeah. Right?
There's no way it doesn't. I still know.
Totally. But like, we don't have the official word on it. One of the things too is like, I feel like they told us that there are some cars we hadn't been complaining about that they're going to be changing. Which, I mean, I'm eager to see what those are. Yeah. Right, the things that nobody brought up as a like problem that they're going to be changing.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if they're talking about stuff like Master of Disguise where it's just not an issue now, but they really want to make sure it never becomes one. Like nobody complained about it, but everybody knows it's like design limitation at some point.
Okay. Well, all right, let's move on and talk about another bit of news, which was the Archon. You mentioned the House Cup. The next Archon House Cup was announced today on Amaz's Twitter account here. And this looks pretty interesting. I mean, it's not like the ATLC, you know, House Cup where there were, you know, a bunch of people, teams, and I mean, almost all of the big streamers were at that event. This one's, you know, a subset of it. And this one seems to be set up differently. There's this whole concept of Amaz points and Noxious, you're going to be casting it, which is it's just cool.
Or Wreckful.
You know, kind of like with Wreckful.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. So I think it's not going to be as serious of an event.
Right. It's going to be cool.
It should be pretty laid back, but it looks like they're trying to go with some kind of different concepts. Hopefully there'll be some more details leading up to it. I don't think it's just a normal tournament. It doesn't look like that, at least to me. Skamaz will offer deals for low prices to give you advantage. All right. That's so funny. But yeah, anyways, you can check that out April 8th, 9th, and 10th on Amaz's stream. And again, I'm sure they'll be promoting it a little bit more in the next week. Lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about the whole 110 challenge. You know, we mentioned it maybe a show or two ago that I think at the time Hafu had the record with 96. Well, it actually was completed by Two Beers, I think a week and a half ago, I believe. It was probably the week after our last show. And he got to 103. So what was funny about Two Beers is I remember him on his stream because I didn't watch him that much leading up to maybe his last, you know, like 10 wins or something like that, 10, 15 wins. But apparently he didn't actually try to do this challenge until a couple weeks or 3 weeks before he actually completed it. And he was normally a constructed player. So that I don't know. That really, really surprised me. I don't know. Thoughts on just the feat being completed, and I know you guys just mentioned it was just a matter of time, you know, just kind of streak, just getting like a streak like that together, but I still feel like it's pretty impressive. I don't know, any thoughts? Firebat?
Yeah, I mean, he's like a really good constructed player. I've seen him compete in a lot of open tournaments. I know I've casted two open tournaments that he's won, and I haven't casted very many open tournaments, so Two Beer is definitely a solid player. He was at Insomnia. He did well there. I think he was one game away from making the cutoff.
Yep.
So he's like definitely a solid player, and I think really any solid player that works towards that goal should be able to eventually make it happen. And I mean, if you just get a streak in the beginning and then start working towards it, should be able to happen. Like, there's no ladder system in Arena, so like you can get some awful opponents if you get lucky. So maybe his opponents were easier than Hafu's, whatever. Like, comes down to these factors that eke out those last five wins, right? So
yeah. I know that for the most part, like last time Ecop was on the show, we were talking about this. It's about not getting your bad classes at any point and always kind of getting decent drafts with the ones that you know are kind of top tier. And that's pretty much what happened. Like, I didn't see Priest in that roster. I forget what the
his worst was Druid. He was 3-3 with Druid. Everything else was 9 and above. Like,
so still okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ray, I don't think I asked you. I don't think we got a chance to talk about that with you because it was when Ecop was here. Any thoughts on just the 110 challenges overall and now it's completed?
I mean, it's a cool concept because it gives people something to play for in Arena. Like, it's just, I mean, it's not quite a ladder system, but, you know, it's something to do for streamers. So I like that. Yeah, I mean, congrats to him for doing it. I don't really follow Arena much, I guess. So it's not like a huge deal to me, but it is something that a lot of streamers are working towards.
Yeah. Just to have a stake in the ground, at least something, like you said, some kind of goal for Arena players is really, really nice. So I wonder what the next one will be. Will it be like 110 or whatnot? But it took a while for this to be completed. So really, really cool for him. And let's see. I remember the Subtrain too. It's cool for him to get a lot of exposure too. It's always nice when somebody comes out of nowhere and then all of a sudden gets a ton of, you know, subs and a ton of exposure on Reddit and things like that. And Tubier, I don't know if he was invited to Insomnia before this or not, but you know,
it was an open tournament.
It was an open tournament.
It was open.
Yeah,
it was an open tournament, right? Yeah. It was open. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he would done as well as he did anyways, regardless. But at least people know him now, and there's like some kind of story behind him. That's really, really cool. Okay, well, let's get to the cards. Let's start talking about the cards. This is like, you know, I think what everybody's looking most forward to right now, and let's jump straight into them. We have like 20, I believe we have 23 cards to talk about, not including the poisons. So I kind of tried to group them in some way that we could get through them a little bit quicker.
Sure.
Okay. So, am I cutting off a little bit? Oh, my.
Yeah, your mic's kind of cutting off, on and off. Like sometimes you'll like mid sentence just disappear. I don't know on the viewership's end, but I feel like it might just be Discord thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, hopefully it is. We'll have to check on that a little later. It seems like it's okay. At least in my broadcaster, we'll have to see. All right, so we're gonna kick things off with N'Zoth. You know, the new old gods that they presented. And I have it kind of paired with Tentacle of N'Zoth just because, you know, this is N'Zoth, this is the theme here. So let's talk about him, just the legendary first. It's a 10 mana, 5/7 body, Battlecry, summon your death rattle minions that died this game. Reynad, I'll have you start off.
I think he's, because he's so slow, he's only really good with the defensive death rattle cards like Sludge Belcher. So that's like, with Belcher rotating out, unless the format's really, really, really slow, I don't expect this guy to see much play at all. Tentacle of N'Zoth, I'm actually excited for in Wild, but yeah, N'Zoth himself, I think, is just too slow.
Yeah, I agree with Reynad. Like, you need the taunts to make it happen, and the taunts remaining in standard, unless they print new ones for death rattles, we got Abomination, which will kill your own N'Zoth board, so, like, that's great. You got Chilma, which, Chilma's not bad, but, I mean, you'd have to be playing, like, some sort of dragon deck with it, and then you're having dragon death rattles, and that gets weird. Or then there's, of course, Tyrion, which would be great with it, but I think there's just better alternative finishers in Paladin than N'Zoth. So I think it's, like, pretty weak. And you have to be getting, like, at least 5 mana of Death Rattle value in it. So you have to be playing, like, 6 or 8 Death Rattle cards in your deck. Because a 5/7 body is only playable at, like, 5 mana, right? Yeah. You're not going to play a 5/7 for 6 mana. So, yeah, you got to be getting... And you're not going to pay, like, 10 mana for just stats. Because it's got to be, like, a huge... You're basing your whole deck around it. So you got to be getting, like, 12 or 13 mana out of this guy. So it's, like, really hard to get off with the current cards, I think. But, more cards in the expansion related to death rattles, maybe it could see play. But
well, we're halfway through them now, and there hasn't been that many. I mean, one of the death rattle cards is Tentacles right here, so I'm not sure we're going to be getting enough of them. Am I cutting out? Oops. I'm not sure we're going to be getting enough of them. Noxious, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the card, like, I want it to work in Standard, but I feel like, in a while, I'm sure Paladin will just slot it into, you know, Secret Pally. It's just like, oh, hey, let me bring back, you know, 2 Belchers and a Tyrion, and why not, and Shredders, you know, just why not top my curve, get the best 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 drop, you know, at that point, you're just missing 9. So I feel like, in Standard, if it's going to be seen play, like, I want it to work in Rogue, but ultimately, I don't know why they'd play that over C'Thun. Unless tempo death rattle somehow becomes insane. Yeah. It's just that they have a lot of good death rattles in Rogue now. Like the Tomb Pillagers are good, the 2 drop is good, the new legendaries okay, you know, on 4. So there's stuff to do in Rogue, just not enough to justify playing a 10 drop to bring them back. Because you can win the game right away with Malagos, for instance, instead.
Yeah, and if you bring up back a death rattle without taunt, you're gonna die.
Right. Pretty much.
Exactly. It's not like any Finn that has a bunch of charge minions that instantly do damage. So would you play this in Wild? I mean, how powerful in Wild format is this card?
I mean, every card is better in Wild because there's more synergies, but like 10 drops are even less playable. Like every deck is just gonna be faster in Wild. So the high impact cards are gonna be like Tentacle and N'Zoth, for example, has way higher chance of being impactful.
Yeah.
Because most games are going to end like turn 6 or 7 in that game or be decided by turn 4 in the older formats. So we'll see, I guess. But I think he's too slow for Wild too.
Okay. All right. So Tentacle and N'Zoth, just uh, the It's basically another sheep, explosive sheep, or you could compare it to, you know, a ghoul, unsabled ghoul. With the removal of a lot of things like muster, implosion, and things like that, how effective is this card still going to be, at least, or is it going to be in standard with what we're seeing right now? Firebat, you want to take this one first?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, right, is like its potential in Patron, but now you got to link what cards are getting removed in standard from Patron. You're missing Deathbite. You're missing Unstable Ghoul.
Yep.
And is this card even better than Unstable Ghoul? Like, you have the synergy with Whirlwind being a lot better, but I personally would rather just have Unstable Ghoul because it just has way more versatility against the aggressive matchups and is like it's got the taunt effect on it, which is really strong. So
that'll rage, like, right?
They can ignore the tentacle, kill your other minions, and then kill the tentacle, right? With, with Unstable Ghoul, it kind of prevents that from happening, so you can protect things like Armorsmith or Acolyte of Pain, and the tentacle can't do that. So I think it's just like a worse Unstable Ghoul most of the time, and Unstable Ghoul only sees play in specific decks that are kind of designed around that effect. Like, you don't see it in many other decks besides Patron Warrior, like some wonky mage decks, okay, but mainly just Patron Warrior. And this card, I think, is just worse than Unstable Ghoul, so I don't think it's going to be that impactful.
Okay. Ray?
Oh, yeah, I think Tentacle's pretty bad in Standard, but in Wild, I'm excited for it because it's like one more.
It's another one.
To the Hobgoblin Patron deck.
Oh, the Hobgoblin Patron deck.
That one.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's right. Man, when you were playing that, that was pretty awesome. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we've got two common cards and non-class cards. We've got Spawn on the Zoth and we've got Infested Tauren. Spawn on the Zoth is a 3-mana drop, 2/2 body, death rally, give your minions +1/+1, and Infested Tauren 4-mana, 2/3 body, taunt, death rattle, summon a 2/3 slime that doesn't have taunt. That was just something people are misinterpreting. Noxious, what do you think of Spawn on the Zoth?
Yeah, like, to me this card is so weird because on one end it's trying to be Dark Cultist, but like much, much worse in terms of like raw stats. But the thing is, if they decide to kill it right away, then they might just give you buffs. If you have somehow a decent setup for it, it's probably going to happen more so in Wild, I think, than Standard, given the fact that you're going to be able to play like Egg Druid in that format a lot more perhaps than you can in Standard. But like the fact that they can't ignore it lest you get a good four, like turn four, and trade it away, unless they, you know, they give you nothing to trade it into, I feel like that alone is kind of interesting. It's a bad card if you look at it straight up, but there are so many ways in at least Wild to spawn 1/1s forever that it might just do something. I don't know about Standard, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with Noxious. Is that, like, it could has a lot of potential in Wild, but in Standard, like, a lot of the tokeny death rattle things, like Haunted Creepers going to the wayside, implosions getting out of there. So like some of these zooey sort of tokeny things that would make this card actually playable are pretty gone, and you're kind of left with just like Imp Gang Boss being really good with it, because you can go like coin Imp Gang Boss into this guy and they can't really fully clear the Imp Gang Boss and then kill this guy, so you're getting like guaranteed buff value on maybe your Imp Gang Boss, but then that's just worse than like Shattered Sun Cleric. So it's like as tempo-based as Hearthstone is, I don't think you're going to be able to set it up very easily, and I think it's just going to be a really weak win more card when there's better win more cards like Defender of Argus in the format.
It's kind of like Sword of Justice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Ray, what about you?
Yeah, I don't think Spawn and Azoth will see too much play. It seems like, I mean, it's the kind of effect you want to play in more like tokeny decks. I mean, maybe in Token Druid, you can use it with stuff. I don't know, Soul of Forest and all that, but I don't even think that stacks the right way. Yeah, I don't think Spawn will see too much play. Tauren's interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah, Tauren, 4-mana drop. A lot of people were comparing this to a Belcher, which was funny because my first reaction was I was comparing it to Dragonlance Mechanic just because of the stats. Overall, do you think this is a smaller version of, or this might function similar to Sludge Belcher? Ray, I'll let you start.
Does the slime have taunt?
No, it doesn't, but I don't know. People were reacting that way initially.
That's tough to say. 3 is a really easy number to kill in Hearthstone, but it might be the case where there are just very few sticky minions in the new format, you know? So, I mean, cards like this, if you can imagine this existing back in beta, would actually have been kind of useful. So I don't know. I'm going to say it's probably unplayable. It's definitely worse than the 4-2 with Divine Shield, which it competes with. But maybe in some kind of deck that really wants a defensive 4-drop, you can play it over Ascension.
Okay, Noxious, how about you, man?
Yeah, I like it more than Ascension, obviously. Like, just because it's the body split. Just the fact that they don't deal with it with the first attack, right? Like, where Ascension, sometimes they'll just attack and ping. In this case, the ping doesn't even kill the slime, right? So they do have to invest a little bit more. And if they do, then that's, you know, tempo loss, or at least mana loss on just dealing with the 2-2 leftover. And if you have a deck that's able to capitalize on that little leftover body, it's kind of like the 5-mana spawn 5/1/1s, where everybody's like, this card is absolute trash, but then... Like, the what you can do with multiple bodies is actually pretty cool in Hearthstone. You know, in real life as well, but holy shit, you know, it's just not good there.
I don't know. I don't know about this card. You guys are saying some things about it, like it's saying it's maybe playable. Kind of okay. I'm looking at this. I'm seeing, like, you're spending 4 mana. The guy's got 2 attack. What does 2 attack kill? Like, he can, like, maybe, even with, like, a hero power, getting it up to 3 attack isn't that great. Most 4-drops are going to have about 5 health. So you're going to need to combo it with a removal spell, really, to get anything done there, or try and have the 2-2 body live around for the next turn to attack in again. Like, just the amount of work you have to do to try and pair this with other cards to make the body actually impactful is sort of why Harvest Golem started falling out when the stats started getting higher, when, like, 3-4 started existing and at 3 mana. And now we're talking at 4 mana even for 2 attack to be able to, like, like, that's just the biggest downside for me, is the immediate impact on the board of this card is that it is not going to be able to trade with anything. You get the Wumbling Runts scenario on the board where your minion is just there and they never kill it, or maybe they have to kill it at a taunt, but I mean, like,
right.
Yeah, it's just, like, not impactful, though. It doesn't trade 1-for-1 with anything.
The it's a Yeti worth of stats, and it can be useful when you're behind on board.
But, like, a Harvest Golem at 3 mana is...
If you're behind and you play Harvest Golem, they'll just kill you, right? This card will soak up a bit of damage, and then...
And then they'll kill you. Okay.
Oh, no, but I think it's got more potential than you're giving it credit for, though, honestly. Like, it's got something about it that's playable, I think.
Okay, maybe. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
All right, let's see. Next, we've got 2 epic cards. Faceless Shambler, 4 mana, 1/1 body, has a taunt and battlecry, copy a friendly minion's attack and health. Then we've got a 6-mana Nightmare Dragon, which was announced, I think, yesterday. At the start of your turn, double this minion's attack. 2 attack, 8 health dragon. Okay, so Faceless Shambler, definitely a little bit different than Faceless Manipulator in the form that in the fact that it just copies the attack and the health, but it has taunt. Firebat, what do you think about this?
Immediately when I see this card, I think about Handlock. I think about the ability to copy Twilight Drakes and Giants and whatnot, and also giving them taunt, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you invest all this mana playing Twilight Drake and Mountain Giant, and then people hit you in the face, and you need a taunt. So this accomplishes that role. I think it could be pretty key there. That's kind of a deck that being vulnerable to silence isn't that big of a deal, because you already run Twilight Drakes. You probably run Sylvanas. You have so many things out there that are already vulnerable to silence. I think it could potentially fill the Sludge Belcher role in the Handlock decks.
Hmm. Okay. Ray?
Which card?
Shambler, yeah.
I don't... like, it's costed in a way that could be playable, but it's going to depend a lot on what they do with Iron Beak Owl. Because if Iron Beak Owl is, like, prevalent at all, this is just too high risk. But it's, like, I think they're going to change the Giants, too. So this is a card that I think will just be affected, like, really badly by the nerfs. But assuming those things don't change and, you know, Handlock's still a thing, I guess you could play it in that. I mean, I've played lot of Handlock in my life, and I do not like this card. If I want a taunt, then Sun Fury and Defender are both better defensive options. Mm-hmm. And if I want to play another big dude, I'd rather play one that I can just, like, play on its own. So I don't really see, like, a situation where I want to play the card, I guess. I kind of wish they did this one in a little bit different of a way. Like in Magic, there's a lot of clone effects, but there's, like, the most playable one ever. Like, a standard Faceless Manipulator in Magic costs 4 mana, but they made one that costs 2 mana, and the drawback was Anytime it gets targeted by something, it blows up. So I kind of wish they did that and made it like a three mana manipulator. Yeah. At four, though, it's just, I don't know. Tough to see this scene play.
Okay. Noxious? Thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like this, like we're talking about Dragon at the same time, because I feel like the times where you'll be able to play this card, the Shambler, is going to be on minions that actually you want to copy the buffs off of and then conceal both in Rogue, let's say. Like, this Dragon just seems so obscene to me with stealth. Like, I think this is a ridiculous, you know, cold blood stealth situation where, like, you literally just can't do anything about it unless you play, like, Deadly Shot, Nasus Bell, Equality Consec, like, right away, which is really silly if you think about it. It seems like they printed a card in the Dragon that was uninteractive, and the format of Shambler, if it costs a little less, would actually be broken because you can copy big stats and then just stealth everything up in Rogue. Like, that's my only issue with this, is Shambler at 4 is tough to play everywhere, but any cheaper and it would probably just be obscene. So,
okay.
I don't know. Dragon.
Yeah,
seems really strong.
Dragon's real strong. Okay. Firebat, thoughts on Shambler, and maybe first thoughts on Nightmare Dragon afterwards.
Well, I already said my thoughts on Shambler. Yeah, I thought I'd be good in Handlock.
Yeah,
I think Shambler's all right. I think people are sleeping. I don't think, like, the Faceless effect, I think, is playable at five mana in a lot of decks. A lot of people have been using it. You don't get the charge with the Shambler, though, which is a big downside. So you can't use it for the OTK combos, right? Which kind of sucks. But anyway, the Dragon, I think, is really strong, much stronger than Shambler. I think the Dragon's going to be good because I think Dragon decks are going to be good. I think with a lot of the cards that have been printed so far, this may change if they suddenly, they're just like, oh, wait, guys, surprise, Piloted Shredder. But, like, as it is right now, I think the Dragon is just the nature of Dragon decks, because Dragon decks, they're just being a little bit too low on stats because of things like Shredders and Dr. Booms and whatnot with GVG. And now that those cards are filtered out, the Blackwing Corruptors and the Twilight Guardians and all that sort of stuff is going to be insanely strong. And this is just another Dragon to go in along with that package. And they're really only missing a few. And I think this is a better alternative to Draconid Crusher, which was your other six drop Dragon slot. Like, this card definitely is much more solid than that card. So I think it'll see play.
Yeah, this you were mentioning, Noxious, just the prospects of it being stealth is insane, actually. So that's really, really scary.
Yeah, it kind of scares me, actually. Like, it's a silly, uninteractive, like, on its own, it's already uninteractive. Like, by the way you want to play the card. What's interesting is, like, it fits Priest as well. Like, we've seen a lot of really janky Dragon lists come up, but one of them also had, like, Inner Fire, Divine Favor. How's it called? Not Divine Fate, Divine Spirit.
Divine Spirit, the double.
Inner Fire. Like, it sounds janky, but, like, Dragon decks can play those. And if Iron Beacon gets changed at all, then suddenly that's even more likely to work. And there's no, you know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like a perfect fit for that type of deck. So,
If that ever becomes viable, that'll be classic.
Yep.
Ray, what do you think of this Dragon?
I think it's unplayable. Like, all the buff dreams are just ridiculous fantasies. They'll never.
No, don't do it.
Hey, but what about in the sense of just playing it as a six trap? You still think it's unplayable?
Absolutely. Did you play with Validated Doomsayer?
Yeah, well, that card is much worse, I think, but yeah.
They both suck for the same reason. They're dead if you're behind on board. Like, it's just going to get meleeed.
But Dragon Dex should be ahead on board, right? You have this comes down right after the turn of Black.
Yes, I agree. In the magical world where you're ahead on board, and every card is good in the game. Every deck should be on board. No deck is built with the idea in mind of I want to be losing. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously if you're ahead on board, like Boulder Fist Ogre, snowballs very well too. But if you're behind and you play this, they just bump it with a Yeti, pass back, and then you have a 4/4, and it's like, what do you do with your life?
Real talk from Raynad right here.
Well, apparently that's what you guys want, right? You want to laugh at the fucking taunt 4 drop while I'm trying to explain how curves into Holy Nova. But, like, the being all negative about every card is, like, really easy, I think, because every set review I see a lot of people do this. Like, if you're really negative about every card, most of the time you're going to be right way more often than if you are positive about every card.
Okay.
But if you... Because, right, most of the cards, like, don't see a lot of play, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But if you...
Yeah,
sure. If you're, like... So that's why I feel like the best way to do reviews is to, like, assume everything's crap, obviously, and then just, like, try to just not say that on every card, but try to like talk about the ways it could see play if it does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So with Nightmare Dragon, I do agree with Firebat. Like, I think it'd be decent in a dragon deck, but you can't play it in Priest because the other six drops, I think, are just better than this.
Yeah, there's a ton
rather like
of
in Tomb or Cabal.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Yeah, exactly. Sylvanas. But in Paladin, that's like the other dragon deck, right? Like, it might be good in that, but is it better than Crusher? Maybe. It has more, has a bigger butt. Maybe that helps.
Bigger butt. It's got a tracer butt, yeah. all right, let's move on to Paladin cards. We've got Ragnaros Light Lord, which is the legendary. It's an 8-mana, 8/8 body. And then we've got a 3-mana Steward of Darkshire, which just got announced today. 3/3 body. And the text is, whenever you summon a 1-health minion, give it Divine Shield. Okay, let's start off with Ragnaros, which is like Bizarro Ragnaros, because it actually heals instead of shooting. And the community originally thought it was April Fool's, but then we looked at the date, and it wasn't April yet. So then we realized it was actually real. Reynad, what do you think of this card?
Ragnaros? I think it's really good, actually. I think it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. I'm not... like, it's always so risky to say that. Like, maybe it just sees no play like Adric, but I actually think this card is nuts. This is what a control finisher should look like. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this with the caveat of, like, if Big Game Hunter doesn't get changed, this card is probably still meh, like, not exceptional. Mm-hmm. But if Big Game Hunter does get changed, this card is insane, I think.
Yeah, I agree. This card's going to be crazy, especially if Big Hunter gets changed. I think it's so good. Like, right now, currently, your stabilization point as... like a control paladin or even mid-rangey paladin things against face decks is you land hands, draw three cards. Three cards are great, but you influence the board zero, and then you keep getting your face pummeled. Now you get to play an 8/8, you heal yourself for 8, and they have to either kill the 8/8 or put 1 damage on it and hope it heals itself and go face again. Like,
right. Yeah.
So it has a lot better odds of being able to actually stabilize the game than land hands would do, which land hands is just hope you draw into some equality combo to clear the board after you heal. So I really think it could finish the game against the face decks.
Noxious? What do you think?
Yeah, pretty much all that. I mean, it's funny because like it was announced when we were like at Insomnia, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw the card and I was like, yeah, this is actually really nuts in the Paladin list. You know, that's pretty much what they need. And I got shit from literally everybody, like, for even mentioning the fact that this card was playable. Because BGH, of course, like, where it obviously becomes bad. I feel like at least you get a heal bots out of it. Like, a heal bots heal out of it, worst case scenario, and you get the BGH out of the way. What I'm interested in, like, I want to see if Heliodin becomes a thing, because now we've got, you know, Guardian of Kings baseline, which is kind of boring. Like, it's a boring heal card, but now, you know, they've got the 5-drop, not the Jouster, but the new one that can help you stall until you reach like the Ragnaros turns. You have Lay on Hands in the deck, Forbidden Healing for those janky I have nothing else to do that, like, turns. Mm-hmm. And if the goal is to just stall until you drop the big legendaries, control water style, like, I have to wonder if we're not going to get something like that in Paladin.
Yeah, well, the problem with the healing forever plan is Emperor still exists, right? So you're going to get hit for 30, but yeah, I mean, you can dream, right? Like,
I hate like the burst, like the crazy
one more set, one more set, and then Emperor's out, right? And then you can heal for 30. And now everyone will complain about that, and they'll want to bring Emperor back in. So, like, we can't win. Everyone's crazy at 30 health all the time.
Yeah.
Let's make it 40 now. Let's do it.
It's funny.
Okay.
All right. Steward of Darkshire. 3-drop. So there's a reagent that actually summons like 1/1s, and there's the new card Stand Against Darkness that you know, it's kind of like the muster or the new form of muster that's a little bit later. But this card gives Divine Shield to all the 1-health minions that are summoned by your cards or by yourself or by your hero power. What do you guys think of this card?
Noxious. I think it's crazy.
Okay.
I think it's really good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Firebat. Do it.
I was excited, man. The card is good.
Yeah.
I was pretty hyped. Like, it makes Aggro Paladin, like, really strong already looking at it. Like, you can hit things like Abusive Sergeant. You can hit things like Leper Gnome. Maybe you throw in Imp Master and it starts hitting Imps off Imp Master. You could play Violet Teacher. It can summon the things off Death Rattles, I believe. Like,
what about about Magma Rager?
All right, I'm not excited about Magma Rager, but...
Earthshock! Wait, never mind.
I think it's got just, like, it works with so many things, it's so flexible that you can definitely find enough cards that work with it to build a deck around it. Like, it's not hard to do that. Mm-hmm. And with, like, aggro decks, all of your aggro minions having Divine Shield is just insane. So I think the card's really powerful, and it'll see play.
Ray?
Yeah, I agree. The card's really powerful. It's a little bit more awkward than it looks because you can't, like, if you play it on curve, it's just going to get blown up because the stats just kind of suck for three mana.
Yeah.
So it's in this weird spot where, like, if you're playing it in aggro, you either, like, play it as a super vulnerable turn three minion, or you hold off on it until, like, turn five or something, and then it's still kind of clunky. I'm having a hard time seeing, like, what point in the curve to fit it in. But this is the kind of card that would be, like, stupidly powerful and wild. I mean, if it actually works off of... I don't know if it works off Haunted Creeper.
Of course it does. Yeah, it does. Anything's Haunted. It's crazy. Yeah,
like, that's nuts.
It is crazy.
Yeah. If Haunted Creeper was still in the format, gosh, this card would be insane. Because then you could actually do what you're talking about, which is be able to play it on turn three because you just pop your death rattles. So with those death rattles going out, yeah, it kind of weakens it a little bit, but it's still got to be strong.
Right.
Yeah, it just might be the case where, like, the aggro paladin deck is so linear, you'd rather just Wolf Rider because you can just play it on curve. But I mean, this is a very strong card. Like, it'll see play somewhere, at least wild.
Yeah. I have to wonder, though, like, wouldn't it fit more of a Zoo-esque type of paladin? Like, if they ever get all the tools to make it work, like, if that wouldn't fit more there, because it's got this whole board control aspect to it instead of being the hyper aggression. And it's kind of funny because it looks like a counterpart to Hobgoblin, obviously, right? Like, and we've seen Hobgoblin paladin in the past kind of work-ish. Right, like ish.
With Savitz, Savitz did it for a while there. He was bringing it to turns and stuff
good.
With Hobgoblin.
It was pretty good.
You know, once you know the gimmick, it's like a lot less powerful, I feel.
One of the things it works with currently that's still in standard is Dragon Egg, right?
Yeah, which dude. Is,
we've seen play in the Egg Paladin decks, so maybe we'll see some play there. You get the Dragon Egg down, buff it up, and then can trade that and get a 2-1 with Divine Shield.
Yeah.
God. God forbid.
I mean, even just getting one of them with Divine Shield is going to make this thing it's not worth bad. It. So if you get two things, maybe get more than that. It's crazy.
Is getting one worth it? Like, I guess the threat makes it more worth it, but then you got to compare, like, the 2-2 that gives Divine Shield. That stat line is pretty similar to the 3-3 if maybe...
Yeah, you're going to go for the Divine Shield. I have to wonder, though, like, does this make Silverhand Regent playable? Because, like, suddenly you have 2-3 drops that threaten giving you more board control on the following turn.
Well, I don't know. 3-3 is pretty weak.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's awful on its own. If you're going to get either 2-1-1s or a single X1 with Divine Shield, like, and you can... Because the more of the same you have, the better it becomes, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Lava Burst Crackle. One of these existing is not enough to make, like, the burst as scary. But if you have both...
The cool thing is I can see a lot of different types of decks working with this. So whether it's aggro, whether it's token, whether it's, you know, just a lot of quirky things, even egg type of decks. And it's pretty exciting when they create cards like that. Okay, next up we've got priest cards, going from paladin to priest. We got a 4-mana spell, Shadow Word Horror, which is destroy all minions with 2 or less attack. It's a rare card. And we have a minion that is a 6-mana minion, Herald Village, that is a 5/5 body, battlecry, summon a 1/1 copy of your other minions. It's the other minions you have on your board. All right, so let's talk about the spell first. Another removal for priest, which I didn't think we needed another removal, but how is this one different than the others? Ray, why don't you start with this one?
When I talked about, like, keeping classic and standard rotation in my video about the formats, one of my concerns was, like, priest is really, really badly designed in the classic set, and they're going to need to overcompensate with, like, you know, solid 2-drops and on-curve minions. Yes. So I'm really glad that two of the cards they spoiled are just, like, grossly unplayable, win more cards. The spell will never see play for any reason anywhere.
Keeping on the positivity we talked about earlier.
When is it going to be played, Ray? When is it going to be?
I will very rarely say that, but, like, in this case, it's like Shadow Word Horror is just, why would you not play, like, Pyromancer or something?
Well, what if you're facing down the Face Shaman, though, and they go, like, turn 2 Flame Juggler into turn 3 Feral Spirits? And you're
then
good
you
to
coin
go.
Out this. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's got the,
okay,
the,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like the only deck that plays 2/3s in mass, though. Like, just that one so far. So
gets an ooze. Gets an
well, I mean, if there's enough, like, 1/1 spawning from that Divine Shield girl, right? Like, maybe you can justify it suddenly, right? Yeah. Like, it's a semi decent meta call, but even then, it's like, I'm not.
We're trying really hard.
I mean, we're making jokes. I mean, it's clearly
give
a
me Eadric the Pure, dude. Give me Eadric the Pure, I mean, like, on to... 2-3 mana, and I might pull it off.
Okay,
that's there you go.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's a different class.
This is the combo. You got to thought steal the unstable portal in wild, and then unstable portal out the Eadric the Pure. good to go.
Yeah.
Best card in the game.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would make a card. I don't even understand like why they would make a card like that. And on top of that, I've never liked the text that's, you know, destroy anything that's X attack, you know, X attack or less or X attack above.
Like, why don't you say play this over Cabal though? Like, that's my problem. I don't.
Yeah, and there's no Shrinkmeister even in standard, so I mean, lowers the value even more.
Well, look at the artwork though; that gives us a hint. Maybe Nalok could be good.
Yeah, because +2/+1 kind of defeats the purpose of all this card in the first place, right? Like,
I guess
it's like a fringe case where they nerf, because we've talked about this, right? Like, Cabal Shadow Priest being a design limitation card. Like, if they ever decide to change Cabal, maybe this suddenly like gets a like a tiny reason to exist, but as long as Shadow Madness exists, Shadow Word Pain exists, like I just don't see it.
Imagine if this card was at 3 attack.
Dude, that would be playable, everything. Right?
Yeah. Would it be playable? Would it be busted, or would it just be playable though?
I'd say it would be good.
I think it'd just
good.
Be
maybe not auto include 2 of, but it would be good.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's just so much redundancy right now with, I mean, Aconite Soul, I mean, Aconite Circle is probably equally as good as this, and then even Nova is probably arguably better or equal to this too. So
I mean, Priest is almost at a point where they can just remove everything forever, right? Like, that's the whole idea with the Entomb decks. Eventually you get to a point where you just remove everything forever and heal forever. If they keep getting more removal, if they get decent more removal added, then they'll get to that point, and that will not be fun.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I messed around with Fatigue Priest a bit. Maybe this would be playable in that, like, it's cards like Power Word Glory, the one mana one, whatever, is pretty solid. Kills Shredder, like, so yeah, maybe you get enough of those and you hit critical mass, because Justicar and Elise let you just win with a deck that's 28 removal spells.
Right.
I feel like that deck suffers from, like, Aconite Circle being so good but taking 4 slots, right? Like, if you can find substitutes for those, like, more Light Bombs, right, then you'll be good.
Okay.
Light Bomb's gone.
I know.
Yeah, so that hurts.
But this is a good replacement.
No. Not even close.
There's a lot of things gone in Priest. And then, and they're trying to fill it with these things, which is, oh, God. So,
dude, just you wait, dude. They have like a 2-mana card sets everybody's attack -2. Like, they've got a massive Shrinkmeister. Like, 2-mana reduce the attack of all
what about
enemy.
Confuse?
I tried that.
Is that still in or is that out? In standard,
it's still in, but dude, how do you reduce their health to 2?
I don't know. Yeah,
how do you do that?
Yeah,
you like Holy Nova, confuse, then play that card. I don't know,
dude. That's good combo. I like that. Emperor Thoris and Frizz just to get it all
inside.
That's still not happening. All right, Harold, let's talk about Harold here.
This one's,
I don't even know how to describe or how to compare this to another card, but definitely copying the minions that you have on the board so that you essentially get cool effects. I'm thinking that it's trying to, the main value will be coming from the text on these cards. Firebat, what do you think of this card?
I think the card is actually pretty solid. I think the dream of this card is pretty unlikely. Like, you're never going to have a Sylvanas or a Ragnaros stick that you can then get a copy of.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, at worst, you're playing a 6-mana 6/6 that has a huge upside, and, like, the downside is that its stats are 6-mana 6/6, which isn't terrible. And the upside is you can do some crazy shenanigans if something sticks. And I'm really excited for the potential of maybe some sort of, like, weird Murloc priest.
Yep.
Because there's been some Murloc-y priest things, and maybe you get, like war leaders or things to stick. If your Murloc board sticks and then you slam this down with, like, even just 2 or 3 Murlocs on the board, things get crazy pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
There's a lot of, confused priests with Murlocs is actually not half as bad as it looks. You know, like, it sounds ridiculous, but it's actually not too bad. Also, there's, like, the Dream Zombie Chow. Where you're like you Emperor, 2 Chows, you copy them, then you Aconite Circle. It's like the old Rivendare shenanigan.
Yeah. All right, Ray.
People,
is it going to be better in control, better in aggro Priest? What do you think?
I mean, it's another 6-mana card for Priest.
I know, right? Oh, God. Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, you don't want to play it in a normal type of Priest deck because you're not going to have that many dudes and not that many dudes that work well with it. The cards that works well with are things like Haunted Creeper, in my opinion. Like minions that you can play before it that are going to get, like, some value off of, like, a Death Rattle or something like that. So, like, Harvest Golem. You basically want to... This would be, like, a great card for the old Undertaker Priest deck. but that's the kind of deck it would need to be, I think, to see a lot of play. I'm also not 100% sure how the... how the buffs work with it. Like, let's say I have like a questing adventure or whatever, and I do this. Is it a 1/1, or does it?
I imagine so. That
it
had?
Yeah, I think it starts at a 1/1. Yeah.
It's kind of like using Aldor on a buff minion. It gets overridden, is my assumption. So it's like the last priority buff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So it's good with like Death Rattles leading up to it. Cards like Shredder, you know, this is good with. Mm-hmm. So if you go like Haunted Creeper, Harvest Golem, Shredder, this guy, that could be really good. But a lot of those cards are rotating out, like the good Death Rattles. So I guess we'll see what other ones are made. But just on like a normal priest deck, a control deck, I don't think I'd play this. I think I'd want to play like Two Entombs and cards like Holy Fire that are good when I'm behind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely like super interesting. I think in Wild, that's where this card can do crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. All the Death Rattles in play for sure. All right, let's move on to a couple. Let's see. I got a Druid card and a Hunter card. All right, we've got a Hunter card first. 3 mana, Infest. It's a spell, rare. Give your minions Death Rattle, add a random beast to your hand. And then we have a Druid card, which is a 2 mana Mark of Yashar. I think that's Noxious. You might have to correct me there. I'm not sure.
Yashar, I don't know. Like Yashar is my assumption. Like, and, I don't know, dude.
Give a minion +2/+2 if it's a beast, and then draw a card too. Yeah. Okay, so these cards are pretty interesting. And Hunter, let's start out with this one. A lot of people's first thoughts were, you know, Unleash with this being essentially being Ball of Spiders, but there's definitely a little bit more depth to it than that. Noxious, you want to give some insight into it?
Sure. Well, I don't know if there's too much depth to it. I think it's just like, is it an Arcane Intellect at least? If so, then go ahead and play it. Yeah. Like, I don't really think waiting for Unleash is necessary with this card. Like, it'd be cool, but you don't have to. Because there's a few times where if you don't have anything to do, then that might just be fine on its own. Thing is, like, is Midrange Hunter going to be good enough on tempo that you can get Arcane Intellect value out of this? Because I imagine you'd have to play this in midrange more so than combo. That's unless you're playing this in like Lock and Load, and then you're waiting for them to flip the board, and then you just kind of vomit everything out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Farbat?
So the main question that comes to mind when I look at this card is like, is it better than Cult Master in the Cult Master sort of Hunter decks? And like, most of the time drawing a random beast, as we've seen from like Web Spinner and other effects that draw random beasts, is the beast card is generally not very good, at least in my experiences. I don't know how other people's RNGs are, but I think it averages out to not that great of a card, like an okay card most of the time, but nothing extraordinary. So I think it's better than Lock and Load, for sure, but I don't think the card's very good. I think I'd rather have a Cult Master most of the time, draw my own deck, try and find my own combos. Mm-hmm. Like, even with the Unleash combo, if you're spending 6 mana to do a combo to draw cards, you have to be influencing the board. If you're not influencing the board with that combo, you're just going to get tempoed out, so that means you're going to need to run Hunter's Marks in your deck. Mm-hmm. If you're running Hunter's Marks in your deck, you want to be drawing your deck, not drawing random beasts. So I think it's like it's a card generation thing that requires card draw to cause the combo to happen, unless you're just tempoing people out.
That's pretty much what I was saying, right? Like, if you have enough tempo power, then maybe, but...
Yeah. And then you're losing, like, Haunted Creeper and things that would go well with this, right? Mm-hmm. So there's... I don't know. There's some potential there if you can just snowball the board really hard and use it as, like, the Egg Druid does with the Soul of the Forest to preserve their board, but I'm not a fan.
Raynad, how about you? Do you like beasts, just getting random beasts? Does that usually work out for you?
Not quite. I mean, I think it's a bit too slow. The thing about Hunter is it has one of the best late game scaling hero powers, because later in the game, if your opponent's at like 10 life, then your hero power is, you know, dealing 20% of your opponent's life total. So because you want to be hero powering late game with Hunter so much, you're kind of like overloaded for 2 in the late game all the time. So any like slow effect for Hunter just doesn't make a lot of sense. Cards like Quickshot synergize really well with the hero power. You want to dump your hand and use all your mana involving your hero power. Right. Since you're like always overloaded for 2, I would just really like to see Blizzard stop printing slow crap for the class.
Yeah.
It's just not, but it's like, you know, I can play Boom or Ragnaros if I need late game. I already have high mains, but I don't need like Arcane Intellect in my Hunter deck because I'm always overloaded. So I would prefer, I guess, like a different way to encourage beasts in Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at 2 mana, this would be good, though. Like, at 2 mana, I'd play this. At 3, it just feels like it's so clunky. It's like one mana off of being something I'd probably just include everywhere.
Yeah, but I like what Firebat mentioned with like using like Soul of Force. Like maybe in Wild, you have a bunch of death rattles. That's like the right way to use it, right? There's enough printed after an amount of time where you can play Infest and Feign Death, and Infest can be like the most expensive card in your deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be pretty cool. Feign Death with it, comboed with it.
Yeah. One question, by the way, like the new tentacle, like off topic a bit, but like related to Hunter, could you play that with like the camel as like a pseudo dread scale? So you have like dread scale, two camels, and two tentacles. Just have like a one damage AoE prepared every single time.
Oh wow! Like, okay.
You can thin your deck with that crap all the time. Wonder how much that's worth.
Yeah, it might be good in control.
Yeah,
control Hunter, man, the dream. Still the dream.
It's still the dream. Even Blizzard's after all this time.
Even Blizzard's dream. Right. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this Druid card. Sounds like they're still trying to encourage Beast decks in Druid, and they've definitely helped some with the previous expansions. What do you guys think about this card, Firebat?
I think it's a pretty solid card, especially for Beast Druid. I don't know if like it's going to make or break Beast Druid completely, but it's definitely one of the most useful cards the Beast Druids had so far. Like before, they had like the 5-mana potential 7/7 card, which was just awful for Beast Druid. But this card actually makes a lot of sense. It can hit like Druid of the Saber, Druid of the Claw, Druid of the Flame. So there's like a whole bunch of things. And even Stranglethorn Tiger is a really good card that it can hit that Druid often has played before. The problem is this card, though, is like how valuable is drawing a card in Druid really? Like right now, it's really good to draw cards in Druid, which is why they run Azurdrakes and things like that, because they have the combo to finish the game. If that combo goes away and they nerf it and change it a bit, the value of drawing cards goes down a little bit, which is going to affect how good this card is. But like, if Druid stays exactly the same right now and there's no card nerfs, which is definitely not going to happen, there's going to be card nerfs. But if it stays the same as it is right now, this card's crazy. Because if you're able to just go like an aggro Druid, go like coin Druid of the Saber into play this, draw a card, keep cycling, draw your entire deck, get Stranglethorn Tiger down instead of Fellreaver on 5, play this on that, cycle into combo and kill people, it's going to be insane. But they're going to nerf the combo, so we really have to see what happens with that and what their finisher is going to be.
I mean, we've even talked about them considering possible nerfs to Ancient Allure too. You know, which would actually be card draw. So, I don't know. Maybe this has some foretelling of that too. Reynad, what do you think of this card?
No, I agree. This card's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Even if you use it without getting the card draw, you're only like slightly below par on value. You're getting like a 2/2 charge sort of, and it's a good card straight up. The thing about Beast Druid is it's like either all of the Beast Druid cards will see play, and if that's the case, this will be one of the better ones, or like kind of like none of them will see play. That's kind of how I look at it. And there's a lot of, how do I put it? Like Seeker Keeper, for example, is like a card that started seeing play because of the Grand Tournament, right? It started seeing lots of play as a 2-of in the most common deck, but nobody could have really like, or a lot of people didn't expect that. Like they didn't think Seeker Keeper when they saw TGT coming out. So if more cards like Marker View Charge come out here, then we'll see like Wild Waker or whatever it's called seeing play and a lot of these old cards surfacing. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited to see, like, I wish this were 1-mana 1/1, like instead of 2-mana 2/2. It'd actually be like the powered shield of Druids, like very specific, but it does give them like a bit more, I don't know, like the trading, like the up trade would be a lot worse. With the minion, but the fact that you can cycle for one would be good. And also, like, we need to know whether or not Savage Orc is changed to affect only beasts, because in that case, maybe it's still worth cycling to. Like, even if you don't have the Treants, then maybe just getting the Savage Orc to work is enough.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I figured you'd be happy about Noxious, because just given that, you're just encouraging, like, again, more beasts.
I like fun, pretty much.
All right, the next up, we've got two legendaries, non-class cards. First one being the new Mukla. It's a 6-mana. It's Mukla, Tyrant of the Veil. 5/5 body. It's a beast, of course. Battlecry, add 2 bananas to your hand instead of your opponent's. And then the next one is the Boogie Monster, which is an 8-mana drop, 6/7 body. Whenever this minion attacks and kills another minion, gain +2/+2. All right, let's talk about the new Mukla first. Definitely a different variation, much more expensive. It's like double the cost, but at least you get the bananas this time. And, you know, possibly there's a lot of minions that have some synergy with, you know, 1-mana spells. Let's see, who's next? Let's go with Reynad. Reynad, why don't you go first with this one?
the Mukla?
Yeah, Mukla.
I like him. He's a good card. I mean, it's useful in like Rogue. It's decks don't want spells, basically. You know, yeah, it's a good dude. I can use a Flame Waker and stuff. No, that's pretty much what I'm going to say. I mean, that's.
You think it's actually good? Do you think he's actually playable in those decks?
Yeah,
like that's one. Or do you think? I mean, generally, of course, he's going to be good in those. But do you think he's good enough to be playable?
Yeah, like Major Rogue, really. I mean, he's good with Antonitis. Or just, I think he's costed well enough. I mean, you're definitely losing a good amount of stats, but the decks that want cheap spells really want cheap spells.
All right. Noxious?
Yeah, I feel like this gives Beast Druid something to play, like on six, right? Like Hunters also get like another six draw that's a beast if they ever end up needing one. Like that's what really I find interesting is the fact that druids that play beasts finally have something they can play that's not like a gimmick that's gonna like because the normal Mukla is all right, but the drawback can really be crippling at times, yeah. Like against certain decks. Whereas here is just pure value. Like if you get this guy out on Innervate or even just ramp it out, play it on curve. They're always scared. And like if tempo druid with beasts gets played and they play like a sufficient amount of beasts on curve and Knight of the Wild is appealing ever, then suddenly like you need one trigger to have 3-6 bot like 3-6 drops in your deck, one of which gives you two bananas, the other ones are 6/6s that are beasts, and I don't know, like I think it's better than people give it credit for at first sight. And obviously rogues, yeah, like Tomb Pillager this and Xariel the Poison Mine.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that much in terms of beasts, just given that Hunter always has a Venai main at six, right? But druids, yeah, druids don't have much at six, especially a beast druid. Firebat?
Yeah, I like the idea of the beast druid. I think its stats are fairly priced. I think it's a good card. I don't think it's a great card. I think it's all right. It'll probably see play. I don't think it's going to see like a ton of play, but it'll see some play, I think. When I look at it, I kind of compare it to like Toshly, basically, which saw some play here and there in some decks, but wasn't like the crazy card, because Toshly is like, what, a 5/7 for six that gives two spare parts?
Yeah.
Spare parts, obviously, a lot worse than bananas, but yeah, stat wise, that card saw very little play. I think this card will probably see more play than Toshly, because bananas are more impactful and it's got the beast thing that Noxious was bringing up. So I think it's okay. I don't think it's crazy. Just an all right card.
Yeah, bring back the mana addicts, right? Like, you just shelf the damn thing and you banana it up.
Oh, man.
It's been a while.
Mana addict rogue, baby.
Yeah, I mean, you have so many one-cost spells and the coins off Pillager. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll start out with you, Farbat, on the Boogie Monster.
Oh, no.
This is okay. Maybe we could throw out the... Okay, worst... What are the worst legends in Hearthstone? And does this... a candidate?
All right, man. It's...
Okay. Is this... worse or better than Gruul?
I think better. I would say better.
You think this is better than Gruul? Wow.
Yeah, because it doesn't... Well, I mean, I don't know about BGH changes, right? Like, that's what I need to know. Otherwise...
I mean, in Arena, this card is going to kick some ass. Like, yeah. So, I mean, there's the upside. Right there. You had me to get this in an Arena draft. It's great.
You guys are such haters.
I think this card is okay.
Do you think this card's good, right?
There are a lot of really, really good uses for 400 dust.
Okay.
You can make epics like Poison Blades.
Oh, man.
I mean, you're gonna be happy if you open it, right? 400 dust. Raynad's got a point.
I am not gonna be happy about it if I open that. I'm gonna be like, I could have gotten so many other ones. Damn it. Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So, good question. Is Gruul worse than this? You think Gruul is the worst legendary? I feel like there are other.
It depends on BGH, man.
I don't think Gruul is the worst legendary. I just think the Gruul and the Boogie Monster are kind of comparable, right?
Yeah, they do
a pretty similar thing.
Yeah.
The Boogie Monster grows faster, but it's required to trade to grow, and the Gruul grows automatically. Both cards probably unplayable, but if you had to pick one...
I mean, I could see a world in which Blizzard gives Warriors like a cleave effect where you can buff this and turn it into Foe Reaper, but then the question is like, do you really think this is going to see play when Foe Reaper didn't and came with the ability? And better yet, it's like, why doesn't this get buffed when it kills something that attacks it, like Hogger kind of spawns like 2/2s? I don't see why they didn't do that. Like, why does it have to be attacking? I just don't get it. Like, what's the concept? Like, you want to Wind Fury it? Like, Sandworm is better? Like, what's the point? I just don't get it.
What's funny is I feel like it has to attack twice for it to even get over an 8-mana value. So,
well, Wind Fury makes it okay.
It's pretty tough. I mean,
you wouldn't play a vanilla 8-mana 8-9, would you? So yeah, it has to attack twice for the, and then I even still, as the vanilla stats at 8 probably aren't worth it. So you probably need to get like 3 attacks with this guy.
3 attacks with that guy. Wow, that's gonna be definitely rough. All right, next up we've got Warlock cards. All right, we've got Renounce Darkness, 2-mana spell that's an epic. Replace your hero power and Warlock cards with another classes, and the cards cost 1 less. A lot of RNG there. 10-mana, and then a 10-mana spell called Doom. That's an epic spell that's destroy all minions and draw a card for each one. Okay, so Warlock got 2 spells here. This one being highly, highly RNG. This Renounce Darkness. Is it good? Can you maybe tell us some scenarios where it works really, really well here? Noxious, I'll have you start off with this.
Yeah, so this card is, I think, and everybody will agree, is it's either terrible and unplayable or absolutely broken, and the game will be worse for its existence. Mm-hmm. So it's one or the other in my mind. And I feel like, as much as I wouldn't play most cards in like in class, they're class specific, like a lot of them I wouldn't play, but I would play them if they cost 1 less. And for that that matter, I think this card might just win games at times where you see it come out like randomly. And the thing is, you can still select and keep the best neutral cards that you think are going to fit that deck because they don't get transformed, but you lose life tap. And the point of playing Warlock is pretty fucking much life tap. Like, it's not the demons, it's not anything else really, it's life tap and Power of Whelming maybe. So
this feels like it requires next level deck building, you know, for it to, to really work out. So, you know, we've actually got some of the deck builders here right now. So this was curious to see what your thoughts are. Firebat, what do you think?
Well, my first glance looking at the card, you see the 1 less, right? You see the class cards it replaces cost 1 less. So you think, well, you can play this for 2 mana, and then after you've played 2 cards, you've made up the tempo disadvantage of playing it.
Yeah.
So you think maybe you have like a tempo Warlock build, some sort of Zooey sort of thing. But then you look at the Zoo decks, and you're like, well, I run 2 class cards, and they're both Power Overwhelming. So
yeah,
that's not going to work. So now you got to get like... where could you possibly make it fit? And I think I really like the way Noxious put it with the whole, like, a lot of class cards would be playable if they costed 1 less. I didn't really think about that aspect of it. And it brings in the question, maybe you can do like a fatigue sort of Warlock, the fatigue sort of win condition with just saying instead of the tempo effect of costing 1 less, it's just hope you get value out of the card. But then that just turns it into all RNG because the value aspect of the card is RNG. The only thing guaranteed is the cost 1 less, which is the tempo aspect of the card. And right now, Tempo Warlock, I don't think has a way to fit this in there and benefit from it.
Yeah. And Reyna's employed for the next decade, at least. You know, this card will keep him streaming.
It's going to cause funny things to happen for sure. And depending on what happens with the state of Zoo, maybe this could be like a key card in it if they start running a lot of class cards and it gives them a good way to switch or something and gain tempo out of all those.
All right, Ray, what type of Warlock would you build trying to play this card, and what is a perfect or a really good, maybe consistent scenario for you in terms of some of the other classes you could get?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, I'm happy Blizzard finally listened to my complaints and printed a 2-drop that'll make Priest C play. But that's about all it'll do. I mean, it's... I guess you hope you don't get Rogue.
Yeah, that would be probably like the worst. I mean, I feel like there's so many bad cards you can get. Like, it's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it affects minions and spells, right?
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah. So like if you're playing Zoo and you play this and you have like Flame Imp left in your deck and Voidwalker and stuff like that, and then all those turn into like 5 and 6 drops and you draw them on curve and kill people, that's great.
Yeah.
Like as you start
turning into non-bad stuff.
As you start fizzling out, right, your other cards turn into things that are useful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait.
And they cost 1 less and you keep tempoing.
Is Zoo really the deck you'd put this in though? Like I think you want... like it's good in the slower Warlock decks too. I mean, maybe you play this in Reno. Like you want to Reno would have less class cards.
Yeah, you can't like control the class cards though, so you have no idea what you're getting. Like the thing you know is you want
more cards in hand in general, right? Because you lose the hero power. So the more cards you have in hand, the more effective your Thorisin effect is.
I found the answer. You just play Finley to just get life tap back.
Well, it replaces all your warlock cards in your deck too. So
yeah,
it,
no, it replaces everything. Hands. Yeah, I mean, it's just
like your whole deck.
Yeah,
right, but
if you dump your hand with Zoo and then you play this, like you, what are you, the concept?
Yeah, then you don't have tapping or anything. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. So you need to play it in the slower lists, I think, like mid range or control type of lists, and then get a lot of cards. Because the more cards you have in hand, like in general, the more use you get out of the cost reduction.
So maybe like, sorry, what were you saying?
No, I mean, I think it has to be a slower deck. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, mid-range Demon Log, maybe.
But it has to be a tempo deck, though, because otherwise you're not really benefiting from the cost one less as much as you could, and you're relying too much on the RNG, right? What about, like, have you seen like, the Azure Drake hybrid lock deck that runs double Azure Drake, the one Sludge Belcher, the Soulfires? I could see it maybe seeing play in that sort of deck, because you keep the neutral minions of the Azure Drakes to refill your hand and keep going through the deck, and then you replace your class cards into useful things once you finally started fizzling out. Because that deck competes with even like Control Priest right now, and its curve stops at 5. So,
okay.
And that could work.
That's a possibility, yeah. Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, when Blizzard prints a card like this, these are the kinds of cards they'll test the crap out of. It reminds me of like Astral Communion, where they just want to do this ridiculous, wonky effect, and there's no way in hell they'll ever print it if it's playable. So I
that could be true.
Either the card is unplayable or somebody at Blizzard's getting fired, and it's probably unplayable. Like, there's no way.
This is made for the content creators in Hearthstone to create some awesome videos. Yeah.
All
right,
we're all gonna lose to it, though. It's gonna happen.
It's true on the ladder for sure. Yeah.
I don't think I can beat this card. This is like a combination of somebody playing Implosion and Brawl in the same game.
Brawl at the same time.
There's no way.
Well, having a juggle, it's like I don't know, man. Like I love the card though. I like Blizzard's experimenting with like janky stuff like this. Like, on the other hand, you have cards like Lock and Load, which have a lot of controlled elements to them. Whereas here, like the only thing I need to know and I want to know, I haven't asked the devs, is does this let you turn like a 4-cost Warlock card into a 4-cost X class card? Or is it always like absolutely random? Because it doesn't state of the same cost, but for the sake of simplicity in the wording, they might have just, you know, cut that off. Knowing them, you know, they might have just done that.
It would have been, it would have been at least a little more controlled. Right now, it's just like, you could get all one mana, one and two mana, or zero, one and two mana, and it's just like, oh crap, you're screwed. Even the discount doesn't even give you much value.
Yep.
Okay, Doom. So, Twisting Nether at 10 mana with drawing cards for each of the things you kill, basically. What do you guys think? Does Warlock really need a card like this? Firebat?
Well, when I look at this card, I immediately think about Twisting Nether and think about the situations where you want to play Twisting Nether. Mm-hmm. And then I think about how relevant is card draw when I play Twisting Nether. And oftentimes, I usually have like 9 cards in my hand when I play Twisting Nether, nine or eight, you know? So it's like, is the card draw worth spending 2 extra mana? Or is it not? And like, even when I play Twisting Nether, I can guarantee 1 card draw, which is usually okay enough. I think in the Reno Lock decks and the decks that play Twisting Nether currently, Doom doesn't really see a spot there, but it definitely has opportunities to show up in other archetypes of decks, as its effect is pretty powerful, I guess.
I like it.
I'm just not sure, though. Like, spending 10 mana doing anything leaves you so vulnerable to a counterattack, and trying cards usually isn't that relevant, so I'm not sure. Not sure.
Reynad?
I used to talk a lot of crap about Twisting Nether, but I've been playing some Reno Lock this week, and that card was just, ever since I like added it to my deck, it's been like super important. So it, like, I wanna list all the reasons why this card is bad, but in reality, maybe it's still good. Like, it's still another AoE unconditional. It's grossly overcosted and stuff, but sometimes the card draw does matter. Like, if you're playing against a more aggressive deck or a mid-range deck, you have to spend your mana playing crap on the board instead of life tapping. So this is just like, if all the good Death Rattle minions leave and there's no Nerubian Egg Haunted Creeper type of crap, and you can just play this and not die to burst damage because they're nerfing Druid combo or whatever, then this could definitely be like a key swing card in Reno Lock. I wouldn't be surprised. Good against, well, not good, but it's like fine against control, I guess.
Would you run Twisting Nether and Doom in Relock?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't think you play this over Nether. I think that Twisting Nether is just better, but because Twisting Nether curves off of Emperor Thorsen.
Yeah.
But this is still really good, I think. I mean, I didn't mean that actually. I think it might see play in Reno if it sees play in any deck.
All right, Noxious, you like this card, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's actually a decent card in like combo lock, like control heavy combo lock. I remember like back in the hunt, like the Hunter Taker days, I trolled Firebat by like throwing him a friendly challenge. And he just wrecked me with Hunter, obviously. And I was playing like control Warlock with a combo play in it. But like it was pretty ridiculous because the amount of control tools you've got in Warlock is actually like really obscene. And sometimes the only issue is you can't afford to pay life to life tap to get to the combo in some cases. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this is that not only is it playable in those janky, you know, combo decks where you need the board clear late game and you can play like two copies out of nowhere, just even to kill a single minion to draw one. And like you can do that, but you also you're able to play that in like a tempo deck to reset the board and get a hand back where maybe both of you are starving on cards, which happens sometimes like tempo wars. Somebody will be running out of options. And if you're the one who's resetting the board, kind of like Elemental Destruction, Lava Shock, Ancestral Knowledge all at the same time is kind of how I look at this at times. So
okay,
it could be okay.
All right, well, moving on, next two cards are going to be heal-related cards, and we've already talked about Ragnaros, which was a really solid card for Paladin as a healer, and two more now. So they've taken away heal bot, but they seem to be adding more and more heal to it. Cult Apothecary, this is the card I actually revealed, 5 mana, 4/4 body, battlecry for each enemy minion, restore 2 health to your hero, and then the Shaman card, 5 mana, Halazil the Ascended, 4/6 body, whenever your spell deals damage, restore that much health to your hero. I kind of put these together just because they do have some similarities, and of course they're both they're both heal and potentially big heals against more aggro type of decks. But what do you think of Cult Apothecary first? Noxious, you want to start us off?
Sure. I think it's worse than Healbot in every aspect unless you're stacking a fuck ton of heals in your deck, where it's basically just there to stall until the later turns, where you have even more healing to eventually win the game by dropping big dudes after you've kind of exhausted their options with a single board clear. But other than that, like the fact that you can't play it after you've stabilized, but only when you're in deep shit, like I think that's just not going to work. Like unless something's wrong about the way I'm looking at this, it's just a stall card at most. It's better at stalling than Healbot a little bit, but not by much.
Okay, Ray, what do you think?
I'd be insulted if I were you. If that's what I got, Blizzard.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it's okay. I don't know. Cult Apothecary, I'm on the fence on. It's like at first I thought, okay, this card's really really bad. But then the more I thought about it, maybe it's something like Freeze Mage. It's not the worst, right? Maybe like Nova. Yeah, it really depends on like what heals are going to be around. Like one of the biggest things Hearthstone suffered from when it was just the classic set is just a lack of good healing. There was so much good burst damage and there was just no good healing. And now they're starting to like do away with some of the burst damage and add a bunch of healing. So if like the Paladin deck gets really popular, Cult Apothecary could see some play. It sucks that, you know, they have to have stuff for you to play it. It definitely limits how effective it is, but the stats aren't, they're not good, but they're not like the worst. There's a big difference between 4/4 and 3/3. Like that's a relevant minion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't expect it to see too much play, but I wouldn't be too surprised if we see it in like Freeze Mage or something as filler.
Yeah, it's definitely not a one-to-one type of thing with Healbot, and people always trying to compare it. It's not even close for a lot of those situations. But yeah, if Freeze Mage, even like Reno Lock, I think would be pretty interesting. Firebat, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't think about the Freeze Mage scenario. That actually sounds like it definitely could see happening. But for the most part, in other decks, like the stats for how much like things need to be on the board and the needing to clear if you play it. Because if you heal for like 14 with this card and you don't clear the board, you're gonna die,
right?
So like that's a big issue. And then also like 5 mana 4/4s aren't that great of stats. I think if the card was going to be a vanilla 5 mana card, it'd have to be like a 6/6 in stats for it to really see play, because the 5/6 doesn't really see play as a vanilla minion in constructed. Mm-hmm. So then you're like valuing the heal effect at 2 mana. So what heal effect is valued at 2 mana? Holy Light. So you need to get like 6 healing off this for the stats to be on curve, I guess, is the way I would look at it. So your opponent would need to have 3 minions. How often does my opponent have 3 minions? If you're against like aggro shaman, they usually just doomhammer you in the face. Yeah. If you're against Freeze Mage, they don't have any minions. So that makes this card kind of bad. If you're against Face Hunter, there's just a Wolf Rider there. So that's not very good. So it's like the decks that you really need to heal against, this card isn't great against. So it's like going to need to come up against like very specific matchups, which just limits the versatility of the card, which is probably going to limit the use. I think there's better healing options currently in Hearthstone, but I do like the idea in Freeze Mage. I think that's really cool. I think you could see play there.
Yeah. I mean, what about Tempo Wars? Like if like you're playing this in Zoo randomly, does this allow you to just life tap more afterwards? Like it's terrible for tempo immediately, but if you're looking for health gain, you might not play Healblot as a 3-3, but as a 4-4 change anything as a Zoo? Like if you're about to trade your board away into theirs, right? Like you're trading into theirs, like in a tempo game.
I don't know. If I'm playing Zoo, I want my 5-drop to come down and help me win the game. Like, right. Who cares about getting extra life taps afterwards? Yeah. They gotta be dead. Right?
But if you're gonna trade, like, they ignore your board and they let you like play yours, and you like you somehow get a semi decent board, and you end up trading right afterwards. In this case, I guess it's possibly a tiny bit better than Healbot.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would rather play Darkscale Healer in Zoo than this card.
Yeah.
There you go. See, that's pretty much what I need to hear. Yeah, it selects number one. Darkscale Healer existing makes this even worse. I didn't even consider like, that. Think of that card. Never fucking mind. This card is, Freeze Mage, I guess.
Yeah, Freeze Mage is cool.
Let's just leave it at that. Noxious, you can go back home and and die.
All right, let's talk about Hella Zeal. So I'm really excited. This is personally my favorite card in the set so far, just because Shaman, I just love playing Shaman. I feel like I haven't gotten a chance to play a consistent one. That's just not a fun deck for the most part. And this solves an issue that Shaman typically have, which is heal. And, you know, Heal Wave was an attempt to do that, but having a body with heal, this is something new that we're going to be seeing for Shaman. First thoughts on this card, Raynad.
Seems pretty good. I mean, if you're gonna make control archetypes be a thing in Hearthstone, cards like this and Ragnaros are the kinds of cards you need to print. Like these effective finishers with reasonable stats that can run away with the game and have immediate impact. Like the card is costed well. Is Elemental Destruction leaving? I don't remember.
No, it stays.
Is TGT? Okay, so yeah. I mean. It has potential. It's a strong card. I mean, we'll see if it makes sense to play Control Shaman over Aggro Shaman ever, but if it does, then this card will be a core part of that for sure. It's pretty cool.
You think it fits into mid-range Shaman too? Not just, control and combo?
Yeah, mid-range wants some amount of healing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a card where you can play it and beat, like, Freeze Mage because of it, which would be, like, a really hard matchup, for example. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I think it's. I think you definitely played in mid range. Yeah, definitely. I don't know what the difference between mid range and Control Shaman is really. I don't think Control Shaman's like thing
too far
necessarily.
Off.
Noxious,
doing some Malagos finish, you'll play this.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe Malagos would be like the only distinction, right? Where you have like the hyper control aspect of just waiting and waiting until you win. Mm-hmm. But then it's more like combo. I guess it fits that deck too. But the thing is, like at 5 mana, it's so. That's so weird because like you end up having to find healing earlier or alternatives to survive until turn 8 where you finally do this with destruction. But like on curve, it's all right, but it's like dropping a Druid of the Claw. Like, do you really expect it to win against those decks that would try to be killing you anyway at that point? So I don't know. Like, maybe it's all right on curve. Maybe it's just playable on 8, but I don't know how you stall until that point.
Yeah, I agree. Against the like hard face decks, it's pretty hard for this to win you the game against like a face Shaman or a face Hunter, right? Because you ever been playing like Reno Lock and you get to turn 5 and you're dead before you can Reno? Like, those situations happen. So I mean, it's not going to be that great in those senses. But at the same time, like what Raynad's saying, as a generator and as a win condition in to make Control Shaman a thing, this is definitely a key component in that. So I mean, it's more or less. A helpful control card, but not really an anti-aggro card. I wouldn't picture it as like a strictly anti-aggro card, but it at the same time is a win condition instead. So that's kind of where I would place it at.
Even looking at it as an anti-aggro card, just like, just devil's advocate here, they have to kill it though, right?
Yeah.
No, they just ignore it and kill you how often are you not dead on 5? Like, if...
Well, I mean, it's not like you're going to run absolutely nothing in the first four.
Sure,
of course you're going to run stuff that's 1, 2, and 3 mana, 4 mana, so...
Yeah, it's got taunt, I guess, if you're not going to die right away.
But, I mean, like, Druid has Druid of the Claw, they still get aggroed down, so, I mean, like, this is very similar to that, right? So
well, this heals you too. Like if you don't kill
play it on curve, they will kill it, right?
Oh, okay. Oh,
the aggro decks currently plow right through Druid of the Claw and keep killing you.
True, true.
So you can't really just play it on five and hope for I got a 4/6 taunt that's going to win me the game, unless you have other defensive mechanisms in your deck. Which I guess I mean, Shaman's got way more AoE than Druid, so that can help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of potential, but it's really hard to say if it's going to be fast enough to be able to be an anti-aggro card. It's guaranteed it's going to be an amazing control shaman card, but is it going to be fast enough to be an anti-aggro card? I don't think we can tell at this point.
Okay. All right. Warrior cards. Okay. There's. All right. We've got N'Zoth, First Mate. It's 1 mana, 1/1 pirate, battlecry, equipped a 1/3 rusty hook. And then we've got a 5 mana weapon, Tentacles for Arms, which is an epic card. Death Rattle, return this to your hand, and it's a 2 damage, 2 durability weapon. All right, so let's start out with First Mate. One drop for a warrior that actually has a weapon, too. What do you guys think? Like, Raynad, I know you like playing some weapons warrior or arms warrior sometimes. What do you think about this card?
I like playing Hobgoblin Warrior.
Oh, yeah, that too. That too.
The wild, like, N'Zoth's Tentacle and this guy. Dude, the Hobgoblin Warrior is going to be, like, the build of the deck in wild.
That'd be awesome.
Cool card. I really like this. Like, this is actually, this is the kind of pirate they need to be making, like for pirates to see play. It's just good value, really strong for 1 mana, to be honest, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's a pirate makes the body matter and kind of hard to ignore if that's kind of the type of deck you're doing. It's just, I don't know, the card is just good. I just like it. I mean, you can't really play it in traditional warrior archetypes, but
right. It
makes sense in newer builds of the deck.
Yeah, actually, like the value of it, I feel like, is great. Do you think Fiery War Axe affects the, you know, playability of it, though? Because the weapon just kind of would go away on a normal 2-drop.
It doesn't affect me at all. I've literally never drawn that card in my opening hand. So that's.
But then you'll only draw it, and this guy will come out on, like, turn 8 when you need a top deck win. That's exactly what's going to happen. Just flip it upside down.
Bloodsail Corsair, like, that's the dream.
Yeah, okay. All right. Firebat, what do you think?
Yeah, this is going to be a need to be like a whole different type of warrior archetype, obviously. Like, you're going to need to play this in like the pirate warrior or whatnot, because currently, like, 1-drops don't fit in control warrior. This wouldn't fit in like a patron warrior archetype. I don't think it's good without pirate synergies happening, because I compare it to things like Upgrade, for example, which gives you a 1/3 weapon for 1 mana. How valuable is a 1/1 body if there isn't real pirate synergies? Like, a 1/1 body without any synergies is very bad. The pirate synergies right now currently aren't that exciting. So unless there's more pirate synergies, I don't think it's going to be that exceptional, just because 1/1s don't really do much in Hearthstone. They get hero powered off or whatnot. Like,
true.
So if I'm going to say that this card's going to see a lot of play, there's going to need to be more pirates. But of the pirates currently, this is a good step in the right direction for solid pirates. Because, I mean, if there's any good pirates, it's going to be sweet. So that's where I'm at with it.
All right. Noxious?
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is kind of a preemptive war axe, because the 1/1 and the 1/3 weapon together kind of represent a way to kill a 3/2, which there's, you know, a lot of the aggressive ones, kind of a, like, aggressive minions will have that stat line. And they're like, there's been a metagame pocket a while back where you played Upgrade because Leprechaun was fucking everywhere and Web Spinners back in the Hunter Taker days. Like, you would want to kill that 1-drop no matter what. Mm-hmm. It was a little clunky, but, you know, it kind of did some work. But the fact that you're getting a 1-1 is all right. Like, I would be surprised if we didn't see at least one more pirate coming in the expansion for Warriors, just because of the fact that, you know, Shaman's got Murlocs, Paladins got Murlocs, Rogues have pirates, and now Blizzard is trying to give, you know, Beast is for 2 classes, Murlocs for 2 classes, Warriors and Rogues are going to be sharing pirates, but there's only this one in Warrior right now. So, yeah, I'd be very surprised if we didn't see maybe, you know, a lot more of an interesting one coming forward. And it, like, I really want synergy, right? Like, you brought that up, but right now it's mostly like pirates have weapon synergy. There's no pirate synergy per se. There's a little bit in Rogue, but like, yeah, there's the one-eyed cheat and the other guy that gains +1/+1.
And there's the 3/3 pirate.
+1/+1.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do enough work. So I want to see what they do with the next warrior pirate.
And there's Sky Captain Craig.
Yeah, dude, I forgot. My bad. I'm sorry.
If you have one pirate, it's still overstated by 5 mana or something. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I don't know, people just kind of undervalue 1-drops, I guess.
I think it's good,
For 1 mana, like, the amount of stuff this does in older formats, mostly like Wild, is disgusting. Like, it's so, it does, just does so much compared to Elven Archer or something. I don't know. Just, sure. Again, it's also will be a Wild playable card. I don't know. I look at like the mana cost, like in Standard, maybe this doesn't provide enough value or whatever, and it won't see play. But in Wild, like a one mana card that does this much, I think is just insane.
Yeah, but like the biggest problem with that though is like, is Tempo Warrior, and the reason why Tempo Warrior hasn't been a thing yet and being able to use like a bunch of one drops and it's always been forced to just be face warriors, because the hero power doesn't help you with tempo at all. You're just armoring up. So maybe like Finley or something can come into that and help make Tempo Warrior more viable. But like,
I didn't say anything about Tempo Warrior, right? Like, you're extrapolating the other 28 cards, explaining why this would be bad. Like, in general, enough cards like this come out and then a new type of archetype exists because of it. You know, there's just simple synergies like Slam even are really good with this. It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about it, but
I think you're right. I think you're correct.
It's the kind of card where even if it doesn't see a lot of play right away, it will be like Mana Worm levels played like a few expansions down the line.
It's foundational things, yeah. And that's what they've done in the past with some other things, just some other constants. We've seen it with minion types, right, with dragons and things like that. And yeah, maybe this is the first step for pirates, or at least step two for pirates, I guess you could say. All right, Tentacle for Arms, guys. All right, so this is a very polarizing card. I've heard people that think this is just complete trash. I've heard people that actually think this is, you know, pretty good in a Fatigue Warrior and can see, you know, people playing it in the current Fatigue Warrior. So I'll let Noxious start off with this one. I know both two people here that have dissenting opinions. So Noxious, why don't you start with this?
Yeah, well, I know like pretty much everybody, like literally almost pretty much everybody agrees that this card is absolute garbage. But
what? Okay.
Like a lot of people do say that this card is bad. I think it's fine. Like I think it's actually playable in fringe archetypes at the very least. And the fact that it's a permanent weapon makes your opponents play very differently around your following turns. The fact that they know it's in your hand is an issue. Like, you know, when I have, like, say, Deathbite, once they've used out the last charge, that's it, it's gone. Like, I can't start, you know, pounding away their minions as they come out. Maybe enable executes, enable bash plays, slam plays, whatever else damage warriors get, you know, as a removal means, or execute even. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with the damage. The thing I'm worried about, of course, is the fact that you have to pay a billion mana to do it. But as a deterrent, this card is fine. Like, as a fatigue card, it's all right. Like, you always end up winning through damage while also having a minion killer, I guess. It might take you a little while to kill anything, but you'll eventually do it. So, like, I don't think this card is as bad as people make it out to be. Like, I think Poison Blade is, like, orders of magnitude worse than this. Like,
it's, I mean, not that's even not saying much.
It's hard to express, but like, even Poison Blade, like, there's a fringe case where Blizzard comes out with a way to fetch cards and, you know, reduce the cost of a weapon and give like cheap ways to enable the, like, you know, the hero power buffs. There's like fringe plays that you could make if Blizzard gave us decent support. This is a standalone card that has potential, given a very specific pocket of the metagame, or even just like a one of in control. Without like the fact that the sticky minions are going out makes this better. I don't know. I like it. Go ahead.
Firebat, you're about to jump in there. Do it.
Right, well, I agree that like the sticky minions going away makes weapons in general more useful. I wouldn't say that this card's good though, or very playable. I think most of the time I would prefer using Gore Howl. Like, Gore Howl is more vulnerable to maybe weapon removal and stuff, but you can actually kill things with it, which is good. So I like Gore Howl's better. I think like mana wise this card's like statted probably worse than just using Justicar and Rogue. So that gets interesting, like how bad that is. And then I look at how, like, for mana efficiency, and then how bad this is for mana efficiency. It's just like that amount of like bad mana efficiency makes it really hard to see play. But maybe there's some Fatigue Warrior. We've seen a card that gives you 10 extra armor in C'Thun decks for Warrior, the Ancient Shield Bearer. Yep. We didn't talk about him today, but you guys probably talked about him before. Yeah. There's a lot of potential armor gain and healing for warriors, so maybe it's good. And there's lots of weapon removal in the meta that you can run this instead of Gore Howl. But I think you're mainly going to want to use Gore Howl and then use this if there's just everyone's running Harrison Jones and Ooze and whatnot, I guess. I don't know.
All right, Ray, what do you think?
I was pretty much going to say the same thing as Firebat. I think like the fact that Gorehowl's classic and will always be around is kind of the reason this won't see play, because Gorehowl's just kind of better at giving you infinite weapon swings throughout a game. And I just don't see a case where I would play this. Like, there's two reasons. Number one is Gorehowl, if you're trying to just have a weapon all the time. And then there's Elise, if you're trying to have one card slot and a game for you. So Elise and Justicar both like finish a fatigue game better than this. So I think just like it, yes, it's bad, but it being bad isn't the reason it won't see play. It's because like the niche role it could fill is just filled better by other cards that already exist.
Yeah, that's a good argument that I haven't really seen anybody bring up, because people usually take it in a vacuum and say it's just garbage. But I think that's kind of taking away from its like niche potential. But I guess if the alternatives are better, then sure. Yeah, I guess like Gorehowl was obviously the go-to for that kind of effect, but yeah. I don't know, like the fact that it's not removable kind of gives it a bit more appeal to me. And it's literally infinite, unlike Gorehowl. Like, I can't swing at your face in a fatigue war with this crowd.
Right, right.
I mean, like, I think whereas I can't with Gorehowl.
That's some of the argument that some people make for this card, is that at least, you know, you can hit face. On those turns where you're literally just armoring up, you can armor this and just hit face, yeah. Where Gorehowl, you literally have to hold, right? But removing those mid-range minions are just so much more important in my eyes than just getting that two extra damage every time in a fatigue matchup. Okay, let's move on to rogue cards. This is going to be the last set of cards, guys, and there's quite a few of them. So let's get the toxins plus the minions on here. There's two minions. It's Zeril, the poisoned Zeril poisoned mind. I gotta blow this thing up. I can barely even read this. Battle cry and death rattle. Add a random toxin card to your hand, and then we have, and that's a 4-mana 3/2 body. We have a 2-mana Undercity Huckster, that's Death Rattle, add a random class card to your hand from your opponent's class, and that's a 2/2 body. So let's first talk about Zeril. It's a legendary card, and I've listed all the poisons down below too, and we can kind of talk about those, but let's start off with talking about him, and how viable do you think this is in current metagame, as well as, you know, some future ones that you can maybe think of right now. Firebat, you want to start up?
Sure. The first thing that I think of when I see this card is the C'Thun Rogue synergy. I think that like a lot of the toxins could be really cool with C'Thun. Yeah. Just drawing a card to get closer to a C'Thun, or using removal with Auctioneer or whatever to get closer to C'Thun things, or using the Shadow Steps with that and the Conceal to conceal the C'Thun generator minions that generate +1/+1 for your C'Thun every turn, which are cards you normally can't fit in your deck, but this would allow that to happen. So I think the toxins are really strong. They cause some cool things with maybe C'Thun Rogue. But then at the same time, the downside, the stats of 4-mana 3/2 is like really, really bad. And it's competing with cards like Violet Teacher, which is insane for this, like the mana slot. And Tomb Pillager, which is also just nuts. So I think if you're going to be wanting to playing like a cycle sort of cheap spells rogue, you have a lot of cheap spells already. And then Tomb Pillager gives you the best cheap spell, which is just coin. So I'm not sure if it's going to see an exceptional amount of play, but I definitely think it will see play. Then it's either going to be really good or just kind of meh. It's not going to be bad, right? It's either going to be meh or really good, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Noxious, what about you?
Well, that's pretty much it. Like, I feel like Tomb Pillager is already being a 4-drop. Makes it, I mean, it's already, I remember when Tomb Pillager was spoiled, like so many people were bitching about it, and I was like, wait, what? How does that make any sense that a coin giving card in Rogue wouldn't see play at all? But it turns out it sees play nowadays, and it, like, I would see this card as kind of the same thing. The only issue being, of course, that you don't control what you get. Like, you know, spare parts, just the same way you don't control what you get, except here you get like two spare parts on crack. And that's kind of interesting. Like, I wonder how much you can use those two coins from Pillagers and the two toxins from this guy and the two bananas from Mukla in the same deck. Like, is that even possible? Like, can you just stack all that stuff and get like a crazy combination going?
It's a crazy miracle. I mean, you can draw.
Yeah, like miracle stuff, forever, right? Like, that's kind of what you're aiming for.
Yeah. Okay. Raynet, thoughts?
I mean, it's, they're really trying to push the Raptor strategy. Yeah, Zeril's really tough to evaluate. The stats on that card are like just right, so that we can't say it's like just broken.
Right.
It's good though. I mean, how do I put it? Like, the cards you're drawing are worth a mana, pretty much. But okay, you get two of them, you're losing like 2/2 of stats, roughly. I think it should be good. Like, it, how do I put it? Like, I like the way Firebat phrased it, where it's either meh or it's good. I guess I'm leaning more towards good. I think we haven't really seen many 3-drop options yet, so Raptor might just be a core part of the deck, even if it's just in a like spider tank capacity. So I definitely think Zeril is just, how do I put it? Like, I think it would be harder. I think it's unlikely that we see other cards you would rather play over this. Like, I think you'll probably find the one deck slot to play this, just because of all the like the subtle synergies. Like, it's good with your teacher. If you get the damage spare part, that's like good with your Drake, and I don't know. It's good with the Auctioneer build, which you're probably going to be playing because Emperor Thorsen's still in the game, and you have all of these. Like, Undercity Huckster is going to draw you spells a lot of the time. I don't know. I expect Auctioneer to be kind of either Auctioneer or Raptor being the dominant build, and I think in both of those lists you would play this card. So I expect to see it in most rogue decks, I guess, is what I would say. But it's definitely a good card, very cool. I like this kind of design for legendaries where the card is just outright solid and different every time because you're getting these different spare parts, and it's just like good value. You know, it's not like a weird card like Tank Master, and it's not a bad card like Gruul.
Yeah.
It's just like, I like this kind of design.
Yeah, I think these poisons, particularly with a miracle type of design, are really, really good. I mean, some of these are cards we used to play, right? Like Shadow Step and Conceal. And I mean, these are cards that we'll essentially be adding to our decks. You don't have to even have Conceals in this kind of things in a miracle. So yeah, I'm really excited about this card. I can't wait to see people playing it, and I have a feeling it's going to be crazy powerful.
Yeah, can't wait to die to Auctioneer.
Right,
yeah, it's like old days.
It's never still fun. It's going to be the beta days all over again, man. That Concealed Auctioneer. Oh shoot.
Yeah, it's funny how like this card is so like, it's a Bloodfin Raptor, but it's still an auto include everywhere. Like you can't make a rogue deck, I don't think, without it. But it doesn't feel hyper exciting to include. You're just like, okay, yeah, I have to put this in because versatile. Like,
yeah, it's like there's just not enough good stuff now with Belchers and things going, and Shredders going, and Healbots even going from Rogue. So it's just like what Raynad said, you just kind of throw it in there because you're going to find a card slot for it. It's just good enough.
Right. Undercity Huckster. You guys mentioned a little bit about it, but 2-drop for him. It seems like the bodies for Rogue 2-drops are never... I mean, there's a 3-2. I think there's one 3-2, right? There's one 3-2 rogue that helps the weapon, but you never play it.
Undercity Valiant.
Yeah, you never play it like on.
It's not a 2-drop. Yeah.
Exactly. So this one, at least, you know, you can play on it. You don't get the value until after it dies. So again, it seems to be some kind of situational thing with the 2-drops from Rogue. What do you guys think about this? You know, with Burgle and things, it seems to be a very common theme, just stealing class cards from your opponent. Firebat?
I mean, you got the Raptor synergy, which is cool, but at the same time, I would have preferred it to be a battle cry because you can't like use it immediately when you need like a spell or something like as a finisher or to fill in curve gaps, which is why things like Dark Peddler are so good, because Dark Peddler always fills in your curve gaps with Zoo if you need it, and that's what makes the card just insane. Your chances to draw a perfect curve are just way higher.
Yeah.
Now this card, like the Death Rattle effect, you don't get the card as instantly, so it can't fill in curve slots like that, and then you can't use it with Auctioneer very quickly or things like that, so like you can't use the synergies immediately, but then you get the upside of the Raptor. And I don't think that upside is worth the downside of having to wait for this card to die, especially in Rogue, which is, this is going to have to be like a way more minion based Rogue, obviously. So that's going to change a lot. But like in the current state of Rogue, like with all the spells and the Auctioneer and all the removal and things, you just don't have time to wait around for a card to die to get value out of it.
All right. Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. This card is insane.
Okay. Good. Awesome. Okay.
This lead harder at 2 health. Like, I'm pretty sure you're just like straight up wrong about that. This card's nuts. It's not for every rogue deck. Like, I don't think you'd play it in like the spell oriented ones necessarily, but in like any mid range or oil or aggressive or raptor type build, this is like core. It's just like if loot hoarder had an extra health, it would be disgusting. And this isn't quite as good as a 2 health loot hoarder because the card you get isn't from your own deck, but it's close enough that I
really a class card. How close is a class card to from your own deck though? Just a random class card from your opponent's class.
It's probably 2/3 as good.
So 2/3 as good. So 2/3 as good of a card is worth one extra health.
Absolutely, and 2/3 of a card over one health. Yeah. What do you value?
It doesn't get pinged, basically, right? Like it never gets pinged. Yeah, so
it does survive like much better.
Kills 2/3s with your hero power. This card's insane.
Huh.
This is like, it's not like scientist levels of broken, but it's good for the same reason.
Yeah.
Oh God, please no. Yeah, okay. I think it's fine, right? Like this card is more than fine. Like what's interesting too is that rogues just don't have a 2-drop. Like as much as we like, they have a hero power that's basically their 2-drop every single time. But like Temple Rogue, the days of Temple Rogues are way back, this would kind of fit that same playstyle. And so, like we've seen Miracle basically become like a hybrid between tempo and like it's more like aggro control nowadays. Where you put stuff down, you kill their stuff, and you go face afterwards. There's a lot of it's very hybridized, and I feel like that fits that playstyle pretty much perfectly. And every single deck that you make as a rogue could be hybridized pretty much, and that would fit all of them. So I can't see myself not putting this in rogue. Like, I'd like to be wrong, and Firebat just completely says, you know what, I fucking told you so, this card is garbage.
Well, I didn't say it was garbage.
I just didn't think it's that great.
Right. I think it's meh.
Yeah, compared to like Novice, where you get the cycle right away.
It's better than Novice for sure, but you wouldn't play Novice that's not seen in Constructed right now, except in like certain Freeze Mage builds. Right. But
I think a good comparison, I think, is like this will see as much play as like Minibot or Darnassus. Like
That's what I think.
Really? That's super popular then.
Everywhere, pretty
every
much.
Every single deck.
This is the first time they've ever printed a 2-drop for Rogue that's worth playing.
That's true, I mean, it's. I don't see it being as popular as Minibot, though. Like, holy smokes. Minibot's a lot better than this card.
Yeah, Minibot's like a rogue can't play Minibot. Like,
this card.
Rogue can't play. Minibot's literally rogue could every play single Minibot. Paladin. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see if it's cool. If it's an unexpected baddie. To me, this card is just good.
Yeah.
Well, rogues, we were hoping that would they would get some more cool minions, and they've definitely done a good job, I think, with these cards so far for rogue. I wish they would just do a priest now.
The issue with this card though is people like look at the death rattle, right? That's the problem. They look at death rattle and they're like, okay, how good is raptor rogue?
No, that's not
it's
it.
Just like I think it's just good on its own.
It's a 2/2, like that's what counts. I have a 2/2 that I can play and justify playing. Like, I just need an excuse to play a 2-drop in Rogue, basically, is how I look at this. And I finally find one that gives me a decent excuse to play it.
I don't know. I don't value, like, the one health as highly as you guys do, I guess. Because I feel like if your opponent just plays any random 2-drop, you're going to be going down on tempo. And aren't you talking about a deck that plays, like, a lot of minions, right? Or what are we talking about here? Like, any 2/3, just, like, generic C'Thun minions
Okay, generic C'Thun minion.
Like, if you're getting out-tempoed by a C'Thun deck, that's not good.
They're coining the 2/3?
I guess that
scenario, I could see it being weak, yeah.
Yeah, in that case, it's weak, but it's pretty much weak. Like, every single 2-drop is weak. Like,
you still got backstab, though. You got backstab to catch you up.
You got the backstab, the comeback mechanic, it trades with the dagger, too. Like, the dagger trading is helpful, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like... Yeah.
You get innervate after they coin out Aspirant, right?
The thing is, you don't have to play it into a 2/3. Like you can hero power. I don't know, man. I think it doesn't fill in the curve as good as Peddler, but it can like on turn 4, you can go like, this plus Eviscerate or something.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that concludes the cards. I mean, that was a lot of cards there. Definitely great insight on all of them. We've kind of gone over the 2-hour mark, so maybe we take like one question. We'll call it a day here. All right, this is a general question for all of us. What's your favorite card so far? Just that's been revealed. I definitely said mine, Helazeal. But overall, which one was your favorite? Noxious, how about you? You start.
I want to say Forbidden Shaping, but that's just because it's going to be wonky as all fuck. Competitively, I don't know. It's pretty... I'm split. There's a ton of cards I like. Like, I like a lot of the cards that they've printed so far. So many people just say that most of the cars that have been printed are bad, but I don't feel that way. Like, I just don't. I like them. I feel like really Forbidden Shaping to me is more like Forbidden Healing and Forbidden Shaping are super interesting to me. I like them both.
The Shaping card's kind of like the one that's, it's not a minion, right? But it's a pseudo minion for Priest. It ends up being one, right? So it kind of fills that void, that two drop that Raynad's been hoping for. But unfortunately, a random two drop is pretty damn bad. So the flexibility of it, I think, is a cool concept. But in practice, it's probably not going to be good or consistently good. Raynad, what do you think?
My favorite card?
Yeah, favorite card.
I like Ragnaros a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man. I was going to say Ragnaros, too, and now I got to come up with something else.
Oh, you don't have to go with it. If Ragnaros. It's your favorite, too.
I guess everybody just loves Ragnaros, though.
Well, I guess I'll go with the Shaman one. Just the win conditions that are different. Like, yeah. I like that. Like, up until now, it's just been like Control Warrior mainly that had the win condition of like fatigue out forever, and now we have a way that Paladin can fatigue the game out forever with Ragnaros infinitely healing, or you know, if it lives, it probably just kills him by smashing him to death. And then the Shaman legendary that can fatigue out the game and have infinite healing sort of scenarios going on. I think it's cool. Just more different dimensions.
I guess one general question: do you guys like the addition of healing to Hearthstone? Like all of these new things. I mean, a lot of people are saying that generally people feel like they're trying to slow things down, you know, maybe control being a little bit more prevalent than aggro. But generally, how do you feel about just these additions?
That's cool. We haven't really seen like a hyper aggressive card yet, right? We're seeing like all these gods that want you to play slow decks, and we're seeing like Ragnaros and this Shaman card that wants you to play slow decks.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Like it's reminds me of this format called like Rise of Eldrazi. It's a set that came out in Magic, and it was all about these really big, slow gods, basically. And that was like one of the best formats ever. It was really fun to play, so I think it'll be good.
Awesome. Yeah, I like healing too. I think healing's pretty cool. It adds a lot more things to play around because like committing all face and such, you have to worry about how much healing they have, how much they can heal, the different sort of ways they can heal now because there's multiple different cards and different ways that they can heal. So that's kind of cool, just more things to play around, right? But I think mid-range decks has been more prevalent than face decks, even though people like kind of call mid-rangey board control decks face decks, like in the current metagame. I think that's still going to be something that they don't really care about healing, those sort of mid-rangey decks. So I think the game's going to slow down, but I think mid-range is still going to be a pretty heavy focus of the meta. I mean, I guess that's a safe thing to say because, I mean, there's always going to be a mid-range.
It's always
going
to go back there at some point,
like,
right?
Yeah. So, but I like the healing a lot. I just think healing's vulnerable to board control mid-range decks, which isn't something I like that much.
So we need better board clear is what you're saying.
But at least we have options. Before, we didn't have that many options for healing. So
The thing is, like, cool. I have to wonder with, like, and that's going to be, like, the last thing I mentioned about Tentacles for Arms is, does Doomhammer get nerfed? Like, does that card make you look like feel like Doomhammer is getting the nerf?
I feel like Doomhammer is one of the cards they should probably have to nerf. Like, that card's insane in Standard. Just its ability to set a clock and just being so strong. And if they have anything, it limits design space, too, in the Standard set. They can't print more Rockbiters, for example, because it's already borderline ridiculous when you get a Doomhammer Rockbiter. Like, the percentage of your health that you take, and then you're expecting more damage the next turn, it's just ridiculous. So that's the card that I think is a problem in the current game right now and will continue to be.
It's basically a giant charge, on multiple turns, which is...
Hey, it's like one card that you can play and it just wins you the game by itself. Yeah. Like, that shouldn't be a thing, right?
For five mana.
Yeah, for five mana.
For five mana. It's overloaded.
And to overload, but, you know.
It's overloaded, though.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, this is a great episode. Always amazing having, or always fun having you on Firebat and giving your perspective on cards. Because, again, like, I feel like we have, some of the best deck builders here on this episode. So when we talk about new cards, this is perfect. This is like old school Value Town here. But you want to do any shout outs, Firebat?
Shout out to Cloud9 and Hearthstone and to Blizzard devs, because the set looks pretty freaking dank and I'm really excited for it. I just really wish they could speed it up a little bit, but I'm happy about this set so far. It looks really exciting. Really glad the directions they're taking. So shout out to them.
All right, Noxious?
Yeah, likewise. Shout out to Complexity as usual and sponsors Amino. As well, the Blizzard team, I feel like this is a good follow-up. Like after TGT and League of Explorers and Old Gods, I think the developer team is getting a hang of the whole making cool cards that are actually like playable. Even if some of them are fringe, they're getting a much better sense of what makes, you know, a good card in Hearthstone. So props to them for that.
All right, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every single expansion that's come out, I've been more and more excited about than the previous one. I feel like Blizzard's really getting better and better at designing cards, and this expansion looks really awesome. So shout out to them for sure. I think it'll be really cool. Shout out to our sponsors, G2A Twitch, Fnatic Gear, G Fuel. I'm going to do my card reveal today.
Oh yeah!
I'm gonna record a video right after this for everyone asking in chat. So I'll post that on my YouTube channel on the website. It'll probably be on the website like 15 minutes before it's on the YouTube channel publicly. So yeah, I'll record that video right after this and check that out. It's a cool card.
All right. So we're gonna have to talk about that one next week. I'm definitely gonna be excited about that. For me, I just. Big shout out to you guys. Thanks for doing the show with me today. And, big shout out to Blizzard. Ray, you mentioned it last week or last show about, really liking the way that they're presenting the cards. And, initially I was disappointed. I was like, why can't we just get the cards quick? Kind of like we did with League of Explorers. But, them giving us just everybody in the community an opportunity to kind of participate and reveal a card. That's really great. I think it's been really, really cool for at least a lot of the community members or content creators and websites and things like that. So definitely really happy about this current release and the way that they're presenting it. It looks like we're going to have like a few more weeks of it too, and get a chance to talk some more cards in future episodes. A big shout out to Tempest Storm for sponsoring Value Town. And of course, Raynad here, he's always supporting the show and the sponsor Switch and G2A, like you mentioned. Larange for providing some of the music before the show, if you guys noticed. It was a little bit different than my typical music. So a big shout out to him. He's a huge fan. He's a rap producer that's a real big fan of the show, and he kind of reached out and wanted to do some, or allowing us to use his music before the show. So big thanks to him for that. And follow us all on Twitter, just our Twitters here, and the VODs will be on YouTube, youtube.com/chanmanv. Probably an hour or so after the show. But that's going to be it for the show this week, guys. So for Firebat, Noxious, Raynad, and myself, Chanmanv, we'll see you next week. Peace.
See ya.